Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born-and-bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It's about a minute and a half past the hour. My throat feels terrible, but you know what? I'm going to try to muddle through this evening. My apologies for sounding like Selma Diamond, if that's in fact what it comes out sounding like. What I did Tuesday was too much for the pipes. And I was, you know, I was all... You remember the episode of Gomer Pyle, USMC? Where he lost his voice before he was supposed to sing the battle hymn of the Republic at the Lincoln Memorial, and he said, "Sergeant Carter, I can't sing." That's a little bit of like what I sounded like last night. As bad as this feels, and it feels like my voice is being dragged down a dirt road. I am, in fact, markedly better than I was last night. So, I'm sorry about missing prayer meeting, but you really didn't want to hear it. You didn't. It was actually worse than the Gomer Pyle thing. So let's see if we can muddle through a program tonight. Where to start? Well, I've got several ideas. We'll have some fun. Like I said, it's almost as though the morons want the whole week right now. And that may be because of the political season. I gotta be honest. I'm not sure if this is gonna work. I can't seem to, talk for more than 30 seconds at a time without, you know. Let's start with some credit where credit is due. Let's start with something nice, something good. If you were listening Tuesday night when I filled in for Rick Smith on his show, you'll know that we spent practically the entire program on the foreclosure fraud crisis. And it is a crisis. And tax farming. Which has come back into vogue in places like Florida and other states around the nation. Well, excuse me. Well, there are some good guys in the process. And, kudos go out to the sheriff of Cook County, Illinois. His name is Tom Dart. And he has pulled together a team to investigate foreclosures in his area. Would that there were more Tom Darts in the world to do this. He's reviewed 350 foreclosure cases in Cook County. And out of 350 cases, only 17... had their paperwork done correctly. Only 17 out of 350. That's not even 1%, is it? 35 out of 350 would be 10%. That's about maybe 5%. 5% had their paperwork done correctly, if you can imagine. That means that 323 cases of foreclosure in Cook County, Illinois alone were dummied up, were bogus, ginned up, faked up, rubed up. Yeah. Well, guess what Tom Dart did, sheriff of Cook County, Illinois? I mean, really, a little golf clap for this. He's halted all foreclosures until the banks can prove that the evictions are legal and legitimate. You know, it's a shame when you have to give applause for somebody doing their job right. It should be the standard. It should be the norm. But sorry, not so much. He has announced as of this past Monday that he's halting all evictions of homeowners and will not take part in any foreclosures unless the banks can provide the documentation to prove the eviction's legitimacy. This is what he said. All I'm looking for from them is an affidavit saying the cases you have in your system are all reviewed. All the documents were done correctly. They were all legally done. And you are not enforcing illegal orders. See, there's only one problem. The banks can't say that. They can't say that because, as we went over on Tuesday night on Rick Smith's program, they have Walmart hairstylists serving as foreclosure agents, signing legal documents and not knowing what the word affidavit means, not knowing what a deposition means, not understanding the meaning of property, real property, or personal property. Sheriff Dart went on to say, "This is so outrageous. These poor people are being put through this day in and day out by people who don't do their jobs. It's so hard for me to stomach these people. This isn't just we're taking their bike away or their car away. This is their house." You gotta admire this. Because these are the banksters we're talking about. They can put a horse's head in his bed. So, kudos. Kudos indeed to Sheriff Tom Dart of Cook County, Illinois. Here's hoping some others will follow his lead. We've got so much we could go into this evening. Lo and behold, there it was at the end of the program Tuesday night, and the holy smoke, you know, the Anita Hill story has been resurrected by none other than Clarence Thomas's wife. Does she really want to open this? Well, reopen that cesspool? Because it's mind-boggling. Why? Is there anybody out there who actually thinks, I don't know, I mean, right-wingers and thinking and right-winger, they don't go together. But is there anybody out there who actually thinks that Anita Hill was lying about Clarence Thomas? Really? Because it's all, you know, it's all right in line with how right-wingers behave. And I don't want to go into the whole Anita Hill story and the allegations. To me, the most sickening aspect of it all was the character assassination to which she was subjected by people like Orrin Hatch and Pennsylvania Senator Arlen Specter, Arlen Magic Bullet Specter. It was sleazy in the extreme. This email, or this voicemail she left. "Good morning, Anita Hill. It's Jenny Thomas. I just wanted to reach across the airwaves and the years and ask you to consider something.
I would love you to consider an apology sometime and some full explanation of why you did what you did with my husband. So give it some thought and certainly pray about this and come to understand why you did what you did. Okay, have a good day. That is creepy. That is scary. And when she was asked about it, Mrs. Slappy Thomas, said, I did place a call to Ms. Hill at her office, extending an olive branch to her after all these years. That's an olive branch? I'd love you to consider an apology sometime and explain why you did what you did with my husband. All she did with it, she told the truth. God bless Anita Hill. She said, I don't apologize. I have no intention of apologizing, and I stand by my testimony in 1991. This is disgusting. Here's an excerpt from the testimony. Or I hope it will be. Oh, God, I hate advertising on the Internet. But we'll be done with this in 30 seconds. This is Jake Tapper's report from ABC News breaking the story. Now, it'll be interesting to see if the for-profit media got this anything close to right. I have it, but it's the for-profit media. We pretty much know they didn't, don't we? Sure we do. Well, come on, Jake Tapper. Oh, God, not this again. Oh, well, never mind. Forget about Jake Tapper. We'll do something else. In fact, since I was gone yesterday... my throat's a wreck. Don't do this to me. Email rolling in from Jim. Thomas's wife. Is the woman who was married to him in 1991, or is there another alien pubic hair in my gin? No, same wife. God almighty. So, anyway, Christine O'Donnell. Back up. Texas Betsy mentioning this as well. Why would Jenny Thomas call up and try to stir up something about Anita Hill, possibly as a distraction, a false flag operation, if you will? Because it turns out Slappy Thomas has some ethics problems. And, if you recall, his Anita Hill problems centered on pubic hair on a can of Coke, wasn't it? Well, Slappy Thomas has another Coke problem. No, I'm not talking about the Bolivian marching powder, although that wouldn't surprise me in the least. No, I'm talking about the KOCH problem, Coke. Because it turns out that Slappy Thomas and Fat Tony Scalia have been swanning around meetings funded and called by the right-wing billionaire Charles Koch. He has these secret meetings to recruit what he calls captains of industry. Oh, Jesus, shades of Ayn Rand. And to fund the conservative infrastructure of front groups. And political campaigns, and think tanks, and media outlets. You know, stuff that liberals ought to be doing if we were sharp enough to do it. But the problem lies in how he goes about doing it. Because in the document, in documents exposed by Lee Fong over at thinkprogress.org, way down in the fine print, there is reference to the fact that Slappy Thomas and Fat Tony Scalia, these two judicial thugs that pollute the Supreme Court, have been deeply involved. Yeah, read it. Among other things, Lee Fong showed that they have participated repeatedly. Repeatedly in these events, shilling for Charles Koch. No kidding. And then there's a little rule. A judge should not personally participate in fundraising activities, solicit funds for any organization, or use or permit the use of the prestige of judicial office for that purpose. You know what? Rules are for liberals. Rules are for progressives. Rules are for sissies. Canons of judicial ethics? Fat Tony and Slappy, they don't need no stinking canons of judicial ethics. That's for sissies. Meanwhile, not so much in the way of explanation coming from Slappy or from Fat Tony. Ron and Raleigh writing in. Noting, he said, what did President Can't Help You have to say about this massive fraud? We can't put a moratorium on foreclosures because it would harm the stabilization of the housing markets. This guy will not make even the smallest gesture to help the people that put him in office. And I fear there's truth in that. I fear there's truth in that, Ron. Yeah, and Ron says, by the way, please say something about our buddy Juan. Oh, I can say happy days are here. I mean, well, no, what it is Juan Williams, what a tempest in a teapot there is. Joe Scarborough just about got the fan tods over the firing of Juan Williams from NPR. God, for me, it means that NPR is at least marginally more safe to listen to now. That little water carrier is off. Well, he's gone home. He's gone where he belongs. And that's just a fact. Ron wrote in earlier in the day when he heard the news. He says, by now I'm sure you've heard the good news that I woke up to this morning, that sellout Negro Juan Williams has been given the sack by NPR. About damn time. He's been straddling the fence for far too long. He can now be the House Negro at Fox News. Noise. Without any fear of forgetting which audience he's lying to. The news of Juan getting his pink slip was overshadowed by the headline in my local paper, The News and Observer, which stated that free checking was going the way of the dodo. The reason given was that because of all the new regulations, banking had to find new ways of generating revenue. The fees will be in the $9 a month range, so we're going to be charged for allowing the banks to use our deposits to make money in the stock market while charging up to 36% interest. Ain't life grand? Well, yeah, and remember, they're banks. They will find a way to take your money away from you. Look at the tax farming situation that we talked about a couple of nights ago. Bank of America, J.P. Morgan Chase, Goldman Sachs, and all kinds of dummied up little front corporations. You know, Crippled Fawn Resources LLC. And they're out there tormenting people and adding interest and adding penalties and fees to tax bills that might be a couple of $100. And people are losing their homes. Remember the story? Yeah, these tax farmers have foreclosed in one instance on a preschool, a kindergarten. It's absolutely astonishing. They're banks. It's what they do. So I tell you what, in order to give my pipes just a little bit of a rest, let's go to the phones. Let's just open the phones early, to heck with it. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, 304-658-3333, and we go forward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Brother Bob.
My goodness gracious, Brother Albert, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing backflips over here as usual, but you know how it is. You know, you can't drink tea anymore. You know, man, I'm about to stop drinking water. What is Clarence Thomas's wife? Wait, the corruption in this thing is so ridiculous. You got Clarence Thomas's wife, who's like one of them. She's like in there with cahoots with Dick Armey, isn't she? Doesn't she?
Yeah, she actively lobbied against health care, health insurance reform.
Yeah. And then Scalia, and then they go to these meetings. Like, man, if you're a Supreme Court judge, you should like spend your time, you know, your leisure time how you want, you know, for recreation. I don't think meetings are a recreation thing. Like, you should be banned from going to those kinds of things. Like,
well, I think they are, except for the fact that Fat Tony and Slappy and those guys got together, and, you know, there are canons of judicial ethics that apply to all the judges underneath them, Albert, but they decided that the rules don't, they had a vote. They said these rules do not apply to us.
What? It's ridiculous. That's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, remember when we were all sitting there going, you know, Dick, do you really need to be going duck hunting with somebody who's got litigation before you? You know, I'll still be fair.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, Dick Cheney and Fat Tony out there bird hunting together.
It's unbelievable. It's so ridiculous. And don't they have more, like, all the people that you'd know, right, all the Republicans that you know, or all the people that are doing, like, all the dirty deeds. It's like if Dr. Evil, you know, was doing everything, you know what I mean? He was sweeping the floors and, you know, setting up CNN journalists, you know, for, you know, sexual, you know, more video. I mean, it's like they're doing everything. It's like five guys doing all this crap, you know? It's unbelievable. And then,
you got to admire their grit and determination, don't you?
They're relentless. They're relentless. But, you know, that's what they're like the Borg, the fleet of zombies, these people. They say the same exact thing. Like, I'm not very proud of Wisconsin if the poll numbers are to be believed. I mean, the results of this election might very well make me move, because one of the best things about living here is having a senator like Russ Feingold.
Yeah.
And it utterly blows my, I mean, he's not the best in the world, but he is somebody that I can sit there, and when I go and I talk to him, he gives me my 5 minutes. And, you know, he does kind of change his positions, and he's always standing up for us, even, you know, even if it's only symbolic, at least somebody's doing it. You know, it's the reasoning behind this is the same crap you hear from nationwide, from all these Republicans nationwide. Well, I know how to create jobs. I don't remember Republicans having this track record for job creation. I really don't. Maybe I'm just in a, you know, hyperdimension.
No. Your memory is working just fine, Albert.
Okay, yeah, because I remember, like, some president was 8 years. I forget the guy's name, but, you know, he 8 years, and he created zero jobs. I mean, you know, and President Not Sure gets, you know, that guy's refuse. And he's been dealing with it. I know he's not the best. I know he's not, you know, we're not head over heels. He's nowhere near where he should be. You know, we had, 3 years of Rahm Emanuel's, you know, toxic pollution and all these other, this reality's been sinking in about 3 hours after we, you know, stopped celebrating. You know, like, we've kind of known this, all this nonsense has been coming, but I can't even understand why anybody could even comprehend some sort of anti-incumbency regarding, you know, politicians that are at least respectable. But that's not, you know, that's not how these proles work. They turn everything upside down. They sit there and they act like, you know, some guy who's coming in with all this money, he's going to buy his election. He's not only going to buy his election, he's going to sit there and try to sell us on that he has integrity, but Russ Feingold doesn't. It's just unbelievable. It's like, what? It's like Wizard of Oz land. This is Oz over here. It's ridiculous. It's just utterly ridiculous. You know, Christine O'Donnell, what the hell is she talking about? I just can't even get over any of this. It's just nonstop. It's just a torrent of just silly crap. Juan Williams. Why are they defending this liberal so much? Why are they defending him so much? You would think they'd be celebrating. Ah, ha, ha, he lost his job. Oh, good, Fox will have him. I don't hear any of them talking like that. I hear, oh, the First Amendment, this is about, oh, how could it be? Oh, it's liberal.
Yeah, what? Spare me, right?
Are you kidding me? I mean, what? What?
Well, you know, it's okay. Old Juan has landed on his feet.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, he just got a contract for $2 million from Fox.
Yeah. Yeah, laughing all the way to the bank. Yeah, I'm sure NPR there's some sort of salary cap. He probably just jumped up 3 tax brackets. Unbelievable. Hey, who cares? I don't care. You think I don't listen to Fox? Nobody with any sense listens to Fox. Hey, the only time we look at it is...
The old drunk dude down at the end of the bar, he listens to Fox.
He's about it. But it doesn't matter, because when they come to a discussion of politics or anything, they can't hold their own. And no matter what they believe, right, I can sit there and tell them how wrong they are, you know, that'll just make them want to believe it even more. But if I could just sit there and, you know, eloquently shoot them down with some reality, even if they can't admit it, and I could do it nice and soft, those kinds of people at the corner of the bar, they know they're wrong. They know they're, and eventually they...
But they've had their lizard brains stimulated.
I know. Oh, I know.
And but nothing does that better than fear.
Well, a lizard knows it's not a mammal.
That's true.
And it becomes jealous. I mean, you know, not all of them. Yeah, there's tons of morons out there. It's unbelievable.
You know, I thought it really was. It was a gift from the gods, Tuesday, Albert, when Christine O'Donnell's campaign manager issued his statement saying that clarifying what Christine meant when she said, "What? Freedom of religion? That's in the First Amendment?" And because the guy's name is, I don't know if you heard or not. No, Christine O'Donnell's campaign manager / spokesman. His last name is Moran.
Yeah, I think I read that. It's just...
It's one of those, oh, thank you, Flying Spaghetti Monster kind of moments.
Yeah.
Just a little, you know. The Moran hired a Moran.
Yeah, that's proof that we're in a simulation.
It's a simulation.
Yeah, the universe is a simulation. So don't relax. Don't stress out too much, people. Just relax. And like in a dream, if you try to fly, you can't. You know, the faster you try to run in one, you can't. But if you just kind of say fly, you know, you just run, you just do it. And that's what I think's kind of. I mean, look at what Prop 19. Look, oh, they're gonna still fight it? No, I don't think so. No, I don't think so. How are you gonna do that? You can't do that. It's just not gonna happen. I don't care how much tough talk they talk. You know, they're still sitting there repeating the same propaganda. To me, this is a fundamental issue that shows so much what's wrong with so much of our system alone, that we're sitting there wasting and destroying for nothing, you know, over prejudices that were held, you know, 80 years ago. And still to this day, but, you know, so when we get that done, I think we're going to see, they're all going to be named Moran, R-Tard is going to be their name, and it's just going to go straight into Idiocracy, just hyper parallel dimension. It's going to go completely to Tom Tomorrow. It's just going to be ridiculous. It's just going to be just like that. It's going to be crazy. I can't, yeah, the nonsense. I can't even believe it gets traction.
What happens when the Bozo explosion happens on November the 2nd?
I don't think they have it. I really don't. I don't buy it. I don't think that they're energized. I don't feel that. I mean, yeah, I see some signs all over the place. But everyone I talk to, we're all voting. And we're all voting for who? You know who we're voting for. We're voting for Russ Feingold. They can take these polls. I don't care who's doing it. I don't know who they're talking to. I really don't. You know, NPR, just speaking of NPR, this is what the other morning I happened to catch that it was, they were doing a straw poll. And with these straw polls, which I'm sure they do it in your region, what have you, it's just, you know, 10 seconds, who are you voting for? You know, and so they just run down, you know, they can get a couple, you know, 100 people in this, you know, poll straw. Ron Johnson had, like, 2 versus 50. I mean, you know, and I understand the NPR listener is a little more educated than the, you know, Hot 93 Top 40 listener on average, you know, and they're more politically aware. But 50 to 2? I mean, that was the only one. I heard that, and I was like, okay, now I can go to sleep. Because that was just one of those kind of things. I could take a nap. Because now I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, right.
I actually thought I believed it for a second. I don't believe it. There's no way. Russ Feingold? No way. No way.
But if it does, it's a Bozo explosion, isn't it, Albert?
guess.
I mean, the floppy shoes and red noses just raining down all over the country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. It'll be, you know, it'll be Saturday night at Circus Circus. You know, there'll be Wolverines on trapezes and all these other artists. Yeah,
yeah, for the it's all for the benefit of Mr. Kite at that point.
Yeah, well, I can't see that, Bob. I know that they're out there. I do, and I know they're thick, but no. I think we're going to crush them. That's what I think. I think that a lot of this is, I think people are upset at Obama, and I think maybe some people are upset enough to go, I'm voting for a Republican. I'm going to be anti-incumbency or what have you. And while I think there are some incumbents that need to go, I think we know who they are. You know, I would love,
John Boehner needs to go.
Yeah, and I think there's a nice push on him.
Mean Gene Schmidt?
Yeah, that was, yeah. Gene Schmidt, what's that other? There's a bunch of psychos.
There's actually an outside chance. I mean, you talk about the ones you'd love to see go bye-bye. There is an outside chance that Virginia Fox, you know, Virginia XX Fox down in North Carolina.
Yeah.
She may lose. The right-wing rag newspaper down there endorsed the Democrat.
Yeah.
And that would be a beautiful moment. Just saying bye, you know, saying bye-bye to her. Or God knows, Terrell Clark up in Minnesota running against Michelle Batshit Crazy Bachman.
Oh.
But by the same token, I got to be honest. I mean, this is what I do. And it would be a sadder world with no Michelle Bachman in it. Because she writes her own material for you. You know, go to the barricades, lock and load, and the fact that she won't be seen on the same stage with Sarah Palin because she's so damn jealous. Rarrow, you know, saucer of milk for table two.
Oh, it's crazy. It would be nice. Yeah, it would be nice to have our couple, but we need to get some work done. Now, my whole thing is, let's say the Democrats don't lose as bad as everyone's trying to act like they do. They are. You know, because I mean, there's only really a few that's not looking so hot to me, you know. But anyway, you know, I think Russ Feingold will pull it out. I don't think this 2-point margin error is really anything other than some early, you know, the guy dumped a lot of money into the campaign early on, and Feingold didn't, you know. So I think, you know, it's starting to change, and some of the ads are ridiculous. But then again, I don't watch TV, so I don't have to put up with it too much. But if, let's say they don't, are they ever going to get anything done? Like, I know he's done a bunch of things, but I'm talking the things that we want him to do. Are we ever going to...
You mean like that? Not appealing the don't ask, don't tell litigation? Which they are? I mean, you know, there's some stuff that President Not Sure can't get done because he has a bunch of damn Repiglicans standing in the way.
Yeah.
Then there's stuff that doesn't get done because he doesn't want to do it. Like just doing... What's, you know, the most sickening part of the don't ask, don't tell business, Albert, is the fact that it is morally the right thing to do. It is ethically the right thing to do.
Yep.
And but he can't do the moral thing. He can't do the right thing, even when it's done for him by the courts, because of politics and because of the fact that Democrats try to negotiate from a position of fear.
Yeah.
You know, when the other side is Bruce Willis in Fifth Element, walking in with a gun and blowing everybody, you know, the ray gun and blowing all the bad guys up and coming out and saying, anybody else want to negotiate? You know, that's the Repiglican party. You know, and the Democrats are sitting over there wetting their pants.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That I don't understand. I don't understand it. Hey, listen, I'm a nice guy, okay? I'll never...
Undoubtedly.
I mean, I'll tell you like it is, and you might not want to hear it, but I'm a nice guy. But if you punch me and punch me and punch me, how nice can you be? That's what I don't understand. You gotta stand up for yourself once in a while. Just once in a while. And once you do it once or twice, it gets a little easier. Because next time, you know, they won't be so just vicious. And that's what the problem is it's like these Republicans, because the Democrats don't fight back, it's like Republicans are in class, they're all hopped up on sugar and whatever else, pill Ritalin and everything else like that, and there's a substitute teacher. That's what it's like. They're out of control. There's no way, I mean, you know, the spitballs will fly, everything, they don't respect the teacher, there's nothing they're going to do. That's what I mean about the Democrats. What are you doing? Have some respect. You can't just be like Rahm Emanuel and you have a dirty mouth and at the same time you're really fighting for the corporations. You can't be like that. But a little dirty mouth, a little backbone, you know, a little left jab, right hook, you know, you get a couple of tools and you put them in your toolbox and you won't have to, you know, constantly, oh, they're hitting me.
Yeah, you might. I got a bad throat. Take it easy on me, Albert. You're hitting me.
Ricola.
Ricola.
I can't comprehend it. That's like the one thing that makes me not even want to support them, because they won't even stand up for themselves, and which is really standing up for us. It's like we're standing up here voting for you. We're the ones that got to sit here, and every time we hear our stupid relatives say something stupid, we're the ones that got to deal with that aggravation. And you guys are getting this paycheck. You let ethics fly away to some faraway land where the Supreme Court justices can have their wives, you know, starting massive political movements, you know, energizing one, obviously one side of the spectrum. I mean, give me a break. I mean, you know, if they want to do something like, you know, if a Supreme Court, you know, wife or husband, whatever, whoever it is, if they want to, like, you know, oh, let's get rid of landmines for children and, you know, this, let's bring clean water, I think they can do that. But the kind of crap that they're doing, what? What? It's just unbelievable to me. It's so bizarre. It's just unbelievable. I can't believe anybody can allow these kinds of things to fly. I just can't even comprehend it.
Well, you know, the Republicans do have one problem. It was Tuesday, I think, when I mentioned the fact that the Republican Party has had George, you know, Dim Leader.
Yeah.
They've had him in a guaranteed, secure, undisclosed spider hole location.
Yeah.
But he's gotten out.
Oh, is he?
This is like some sort of cover from the Weekly World News about the Bat Boy.
Oh, okay.
He's been giving speeches. He went to Alabama and gave a speech. You know, I guess that finally qualifies as him maybe finally showing up in Alabama for his National Guard duty. But in Alabama earlier in the month, he said, I love being your president. But frankly, I'm having the time of my life not being your president. So last night he speaks in, of course, Texas. And he says, I do miss being pampered. I miss Air Force One. I miss being commander in chief of an awesome group of folks like y'all. I think they're gonna. It's one of those pinky in the brain moments, Albert. Yeah, everything's going so well until pinky screws it up.
Wow.
You know, did it ever occur to you that we spent 8 years with Pinky in the Brain in the White House? Dawned on me.
Yeah, no, that's like a X-Files thing or something. Like, that period of 8 years was a really bad dream. That wasn't real. I mean, granted, the results are real, but that was unbelievable. That's how I feel about it. The Bush, I mean, when I watch a documentary, you'll get a clip of the Bush administration, and it takes you back. It's just stunning. It's like looking out over a 4,000-foot cliff straight down. It just takes your breath away.
Yeah, you feel like a tune being held over the big vat of dip.
Yeah. It's I can't believe it.
I'm in love with this metaphor. Maybe somebody else came up with it before, but I'm just crawling with this idea of Dim Leader running into Dick's office every day, going, "What are we going to try to do today, Dick?"
Same thing as every day, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Oh boy, they and that guy, Dick Cheney. guy is going to be a freaking brain in a jar.
Straight. I'm telling you, you know, I think our loopier comedies and cartoons are actually the best reflection of our culture today. You know, it's because Dick Cheney's on his way to being a Futurama character.
Yeah, or even the number one of the Cybermen from Doctor Who fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're just brains in a metal body, and that's he's just. I mean, I don't know how that guy even sleeps at night.
No, he doesn't. That's when he's awake. That's when he's out flying around. He sleeps during the day in the box, you know, with the little lump of native soil.
My God. Oh, Bob. So anyway, I am looking forward to Election Day.
Oh, I am too, and I think... I have yet to have a conversation with Rick Smith about this, but we need to have some sort of continuing coverage that just, you know, and do what we've done in the past and let people be political correspondents from, you know, their own, you know, little corner of the simulation.
I don't understand. I don't even understand how this lack of reality can be reality. These people aren't even they have no ground under their feet. At all. When's the last factual thing you've heard out of them? At the right. What was the last factual thing you've heard?
Facts? I ain't got none.
Seriously. I mean, you know, it's like they started lying, and you know, it would be like 30. I remember a day when it was like around 30 to 40% of what they said was lies, and then, you know, they still sort of told the truth every now and then. And it just got, you know, like those people that used to tell the truth more predominantly, they died off, and they got replaced by the really dull teeth. You know, it's like these Republicans have molars for incisors. You know what I mean? They're just big.
Yeah, they just grind.
Toothed. Yeah, they're just beat. They're troglodytes. They're ridiculous.
Horse tooth.
They're just beasts. Filthy, filthy beasts. Yeah. Anyway, you know, you just can't get over it.
I mean, that story from the other day, you know, we thought, and because it never goes away, the guy who's not happy being a birther, he's willing to accept the birth certificate, but he's pretty well sure that President Not Sure is the love child of Malcolm X, and he wants DNA testing. These people are treated seriously in our political culture.
This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable.
It's a cavalcade of bozo.
It's unbelievable. It's just crazy. It's just madness. I mean, I can honestly say maybe it's just, you know, I don't know anyone like that.
And is it Christine O'Donnell whose father really was bozo? Did you see that one of these Lulu La La Land right wing teabagging politicians? Her daddy was bozo. I know it does the same thing to me. Just you sit there and your head sort of bobbles back. You just shake your head like a little bobblehead bulldog in the back of a 57 Chevy. And Jesus,
like, this universe created Einstein. Shakespeare, right?
Yeah, really.
What? I don't know. Maybe they're just being. Maybe it's just that they're more exposed now. I don't understand. The right wing people running, like Angle and what's her face and O'Donnell, which is Palin Jr. Palin's in it. It's just you look over there, you're like, what? Glenn Beck. Oh, I. You know, of course now, you know, he's Mr. Religious now. You know, of course the Mormon mask is off, and you know his little fangs are out there, and he's talking about, this guy's taking.
But he still admits that he got into religion because he wanted to have sex with his wife that he wasn't married to yet, and she made him get married and become a Mormon before she'd give it up.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, he admits it. He got married to get laid.
Wow. Oh, that guy. Oh, well, he doesn't believe in evolution. Look at him. Look at him.
Yeah, his knuckles are bloody all the time from walking on them.
Unbelievable. I can't believe anybody pays attention to that guy. Granted, half the attentions from people like us to sit there and, you know, watch his clips. Actually, I don't. I haven't seen a single thing he's done in months. The last thing I think I saw was some clips of maybe on Stewart. You know, if I catch him on Stewart, that's about it. Or
right.
Or something like that. That's the only times I ever.
Well, I mean, speaking of mean and crazy, have you heard this story about the GOP chairman over in Virginia?
What happened with that?
It's an email he sent out. He's claiming, well, I didn't even read it. I just forwarded it because of who it came from. Yeah, because you do that, right? You just forward stuff. Don't have time to click, just forward. But wait a minute, don't you have to click to forward? I mean, I know in my Gmail I do.
Wait, why would you forward something you don't read?
See?
Why would you do that?
Right. Wait till you hear the content. The Republicans have, of course, offered he is not, this man is not a racist, and some of his best friends are black. You know, they still use that over there in Republican world, Albert.
Ron Williams.
So this guy's name is let's see, hang on.
Moran Jr.
Yeah, right. Bartholomew Moran.
Okay.
We'll just use Moran for short. He claims, again, he claims he had no idea of the content of the email, and he just forwarded it.
Yeah.
This happened several months ago, but it finally cropped up over at Blue Virginia. And what he forwarded was the following. My dog. I went down this morning to sign up my dog for welfare. At first, the lady said, dogs are not eligible to draw welfare. You can just smell this coming a mile away, can't you? So I explained to her that my dog is black, unemployed, lazy, can't speak English, and has no friggin' clue who his daddy is. So she looked in her policy book to see what it takes to qualify. My dog gets his first check Friday. Is this a great country or what? You know, every now and then, the horn will be 5 years old on Sunday. And I have not lost, it's been jaded, Albert, but I have not lost the ability to be shocked. Because even that one felt like a gut punch. I mean, I saw that and I went, Jesus!
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, David in Tennessee has mentioned 1,000 times that what bigots and racists used to say quietly amongst themselves, they now feel comfortable saying out loud and forwarding around the interweb tubes because of the likes of Beck and Hannity and Savage and Limbaugh and Wiener and Bortz and on and on and on.
That's fine. Let them come out into the light. They're ugly. Everybody knows it. They're not even ugly. They're hideous. They're hideous.
And the funny thing is, this story pops up at the same time as the new NAACP report that actually documents the links between the teabaggers and the racists.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're not racist, but, you know, we just forward these things.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Let's see. Beiler said Bartholomew forwarded the email with the subject line of my dog, without reading it, because it came from an official of the local council of civic leagues.
Right.
So if you see, you know, civicleague.com, well, you know, what you're supposed to do with that is just click and forward.
Oh, okay. Yep.
And so it's email's fault. The Republicans in Virginia are saying, this is a cautionary tale of the rules of the new medium.
So obviously it's Gore's fault. Al Gore did it.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Or Bill's.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
I mean, he was president at the time.
Yeah. True. I mean, that's all of them too. It's not even just, you know, I mean, God, can you imagine? I mean, that's the other thing. Like forwards, I don't forward nothing. I don't even open forwards. It's just a habit from being, you know, on the internet, bad old days. You know, who knows? Maybe today's the worst. 10 minutes of scrolling through, you know, everyone else's email address, and then you get there, and it's a little sparkly picture. This is not my thing, so I'm not going to do it. Plus, I don't want a virus, I don't want a malware, I don't want none of that. So,
right, very seldom do I forward anything.
Yeah, and I would forward something that, you know, like if a news article that I read,
yeah.
I forward that, but that's not technically an email forward. If somebody emails for, hey, just in order for you to do anything, you have to see it, and then if you see it, you read it. It's like, you know, you can't help reading things. Once you know how to read, you just do it, right? Any word you see, you look at your eyes, and you instantly pick it up. So don't tell me you didn't read it. You sat there, you looked at it, you read it, and you hit forward. Not only did you hit forward, you had to forward it to a list. You have to select. It's not, I mean, you know, if I want to forward it to you and my mom and my brother, but not my uncle, I have to go in there and pick those people to forward it to.
This is all true.
So who are you going to try to tell you didn't read it? Of course you read it.
Laughed like right-wingers laugh, because this is funny to them.
Of course. Well, that's why all your buddies do it. You know, maybe him and Carl Palladino were emailing.
Yeah, with the horse?
Yeah, I mean, come on.
Horse sex?
Come on, and everything else, and the racism. I mean, you know, he goes a step further and does the whole Neil Horsley guy. Remember him? Remember that guy?
Aptly named.
Yeah, remember that guy? Oh, yes.
Yeah, doesn't everybody that grows up on a farm, doesn't he have sex with the mules?
His first girlfriend, the mule. I mean, Bob. There's a pattern here. There's a pattern. There has to be. Now we're just in the crazy.
Watson wondered if some of these things might be clues.
Yeah, I mean, when you look, they're unraveling. That whole consciousness, that whole line of consciousness, that rope. It's not a rope anymore. Now it's flailing around, and it's starting to uncoil, and eventually you're going to come to where it's split off, and then they're done. I'm telling you, it has to be. There's got to be. What else could this be? What else could this much insanity be? There's no way. I mean, the world created coral polyps, and they're so beautiful and intricate. And there's no way that the universe that created those will allow this to continue forever. There's no way. Nothing. There's no way.
What is it Kate says? Chaos is self-correcting?
Yeah, oh, no doubt. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I got to tell you that our buddy Jim is on a roll, apparently, this evening. We've got a new name. I've never heard this before, and I just saw it in my email. You know, because, again, while we're talking about this racist in his email... you know, I'm looking at my Gmail here, you know, bobkincaid@gmail.com, and not only does it tell me the subject line, it tells me the first line of the email.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's the other thing. You're going to read part of it just by looking at it.
And so Jim has provided a new nickname for Dick Cheney.
Oh.
You ready for this? Because this is going to hurt almost as much as President Not Sure.
Okay.
Count Dickula. Isn't that quality? Isn't that just quality?
Yeah, that's a good one.
You know, there are people who do this stuff who have paid staffs that can't come up with Count Dickula, and I get it for free.
There you go. Yeah, that's wonderful.
And, yeah, it turns out, Ron in Raleigh tells me, Albert, that the COD, Christine O'Donnell, the COD's dad was a part-time bozo. He was the fill-in for the regular bozo in Jenkinville, Pennsylvania. You know what? When you're running for Senate in Delaware and you're related to Bozo, you know, it almost feels like she should be running in Mississippi or Alabama, because they routinely elect, you know, Bozos.
Well, true, and I'm sure they buy the whole "I'm you" line.
Oh,
you know, yeah, they buy that. I mean, I think people in Delaware. You know, I've heard some of them chit-chat, and I've heard, you know, seen a few of their protests, and, you know, a lot of those people there seem pretty sharp, and, you know, I don't know, I think Chris Coons is just gonna smack.
Yeah, but he did something a little bit disappointing today.
What did he do now?
He said that he would be in favor of extending the Bush tax cuts indefinitely, across the board.
What?
Yeah, I know, straw, liquor bottle, there we go.
Funnel. Give me a funnel.
Beer bong.
For real. And keep it in a liquor bottle. And what? That was just... You know, maybe it's just us because, you know, we've only been bitching about it since they started it. I was, you know, I remember when Bush was first starting his tax nonsense. I still never cashed that check. You know, the other one was direct deposit. There's nothing I can do about it. But, you know, I don't agree with them. I've never agreed with the Bush tax cuts just because of how unfair it is. And, you know, they're sitting there, since when? Since when did trickle-down economics create jobs? Since when?
Ever.
Since when? Ever. Ever. It doesn't. It does not work. It didn't work in Argentina. It didn't work here. It didn't work in Japan. It does not work. Period. So I'm so tired of this crap. When people sit there and they'll just, like Democrats, wake up. It doesn't work. It's infuriating.
But meanwhile, the teabaggers are out there saying things like, we need government to get out of the way and let the private sector create jobs. Well, you know, a corporation has no obligation to create jobs. A corporation's only obligation is to create profit, right?
And that's why we are in the situation we're in. They want to do more of it. It's like, well, hey, that gas started that fire. Maybe if we pour more, that gas will put it out. Damn, that's a good idea. Pour that gas on there. That's what this is. This is
burning bozos.
Yeah, burning. There's a bunch of idiots at, you know, some sort of crazy rally, and they're, you know, putting fire out with gasoline. That's what they're doing. They got big tanks. Oh, we got this big, look at all of it. It's wet, isn't it? Wet puts fire out. Right? That's what they're talking about. Oh, less regulation. Oh, more money. Oh, maybe they'll create more jobs. Innovation.
Wait, yeah, why does that... wet puts... That's really... That must be off the cutting room floor from Idiocracy. Wet puts out fires, don't it?
It's gotta. Hey, this is where we are. You gotta know the lingo. Right? That's...
No, let's put water on the fire. Water? Like, from the toilet?
Toilet? Yeah, that's what this is. And it's the same exact conversation. They're just talking about, you know, we don't need regulation. Yeah, you mentioned about free checking, right?
Yeah.
Take a free check. Since when was free checking free? Free checking isn't free. Free checking is just what gets you to lure you in so you can turn around and, overdraft. Oh, and they stack your debt. They'll stack your checks coming in. They stack your debits. They stack them in a way so if they can nail you, and if you happen to have a savings account, you split your paychecks into more than one account, you know, and if you only put so much in there and you use, and you kind of, you know, your checking account isn't collecting interest, so what reason to put money in it? A lot of people do, and we're not making the money we used to make. So anyway, what do? Next thing you know, it's not free checking. I'll pay $8 if you don't overdraft, annihilate you if you make a mistake, you know, and you get a can of soda, and you know, the last day of right before payday, and you get a can of soda, and that's 10 cents, you know, more than you have. That's $35.10 you owe us. I mean, come on now. You know, that you were talking about what they were sitting there bringing hairdressers in to sign these mortgages?
Yep, yeah.
Are you kidding me?
I wish I was.
Prison. Are you kidding me? Prison. You don't have... unbelievable. It's just...
It's another one of those bobblehead moments, isn't it?
Yeah, but the spring is all crunked, so it doesn't ever go back the way it is. It's kind of just hanging there.
Yeah.
It's just, it's madness. It's just utter madness. You sit there, you look, they're going to do the free checking. Well, when are they going to shut down? When do you think they're going to shut down these payday cash loan places? When are they going to shut those down? Because those are all owned by banks. Those aren't, you know, local guys, you know, with a green and yellow sign. You know, up to $1,000, you know, title loans and all that stuff. All that stuff. That's all them. That's all owned by,
yes,
Wells Fargo and Citibank and all that crap. And they're charging 400% interest at these places. And when, I don't understand.
Now, do you guys have those in Wisconsin?
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're everywhere. They're everywhere. They're disgusting.
See, there are little moments when I am glad for where I am. We don't have them. I mean, don't tell the banks, but no, West Virginia does not have payday lenders.
Well, that's cool. Maybe, yeah.
And it's largely because of our attorney general, a good man by the name of Daryl McGraw, who when he's got a voice that makes me sound like a soprano. And when he tells you you're not allowed to do something in West Virginia, there is something implicit about your continued well-being if you persist. But no, we don't. But I've, you know, you go down south and you see them all over the place, and they're the neon and pink flamingos, and you know, money, 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 cash now for your junk title. You know.
Yeah. Oh, and it's not even. I mean, it's, you know, then of course they use these stories. You know, these banks. You know, you know, they use these stories to, you know, drum up fear in people, and you know, there's plenty of fear to go around when you can barely feed your kids and stuff. You know, but they drum up these things, and then they, you know, slide, you know, have to, oh, we're not making, oh, we're in trouble, we're going to have to raise your interest rate. But I didn't make any late payments anywhere. I didn't, oh, yeah, we know, but we have to. And so they jack your, we just had a, and this is the thing that really aggravates me. This really aggravates me. We have a card, and it's from the union, right? The union card said they moved us from 6 to 16.9.
Ouch.
And I call her and I say, why? Well, why did you do this? Oh, well, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, well, we didn't, it's anywhere, nowhere, zero. We didn't pay our, you know, telephone bill. You know how they sit there and they watch you to do that kind of stuff so they can jack your rate when they want to? But no, what happens is it's owned by HSBC, and HSBC wants to, so they do. And that's how they treat us. And that's how the union card is treating us. So I can't even imagine where I sit there and you get these other offers and you look at them and you're like, 29? No.
No, see, that's like the, you know, I mention our rather urgent fundraising needs every month, Albert. We have a credit account with one of the outfits where we buy our the computer parts and stuff. And I try to avoid it like the plague, but, you know, you can't sometimes. Things burn up.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put some more gasoline on that.
That's right.
Jesus. And, you know, I was talking to Boss Man Wayne the other day, and he said, yeah, we got a notice in the mail. The interest on our account over there went up to 25.9%.
Yeah. Yeah. Not for any fault of yours.
No.
They can, and so they do.
Not exactly arm's length negotiating, is it?
No, absolutely not. But, you know, that's why they give you, you know, 10 pages of, you know, tiny little print that you need a microscope to read. I got good eyes. You can't read it. You can't even focus on it.
Yeah, Jim let me know a few minutes ago that fully 25% of Bank of America's revenue comes from checking account activity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't doubt it at all. And it's all from
that's a lot of revenue. Fees. Yeah, it's late fees. Oh, yeah. It's the overdraft fees.
Yep. The $300 can of soda.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, they'll even delay your check being deposited just so they can snag that. And a lot of, I mean, I've had friends that have had that happen to them, and they're like, oh, man, you know, I'm like, well, what does it say? And they tell me, and I'm like, well, you better call them and raise hell. And they call them, they raise hell, and they're like, oh, yeah, ooh, sorry about that, our bad. But if you don't complain and you don't call, oh, no, they'll rape you. You know, because you're not saying no, right? And that's the only way that rape is when you say no. So if you can't rape the willing, I guess. And that's how they look at it, and that's how they play us. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Why would people be disenchanted? Well, because Obama's sticking up for these guys. Those guys? Those guys? That's like hanging out with the Nazis. What are you doing? Are you kidding? And granted, they're, you know, it's not always the same thing, but, you know, there's certain types of people like, oh, those people are the cannibalists, and those are the molesters, and those are the rapists. And do you hang out with them? I don't hang out with them. Why are you even hanging out with those guys? Are you crazy? And that, not only are you hanging out with them, you're enabling them? That's what really just it gets me. That just blows me away that he could even attempt to do such things. Yeah, he has done good things on our behalf, a few here and there. I've read a few things. I've seen a massive list. You know, I'm not going to, you know, I don't beat him up too much, but we got to hit him enough so he starts really moving in our direction. Because if let's say the Democrats once again kick, you know, victory into the jaws of defeat, what are we going to get done then? They couldn't even get anything done when they had a majority. Then what the hell are we going to do? Are we going to wait for Jeb? I don't know about that. Jeb? You know Jeb is coming. You know he is.
See that? Yeah, I'm still convinced of it.
Yeah, oh, there's no doubt. Jeb is the only one they have. He's the only one they have. That's why he's just kept way out of sight. They'll bring him out at the appropriate time. You watch. You watch. They'll bring out his big suntan cheeks, shiny, right? His big white teeth, right? His whole family-friendly demeanor, right? Oh, I know I'm a Bush, but I'm the more sane one. Yeah, right. He's the fade of the Harkonians, that guy.
Yeah, as opposed to...
Yeah, the brute.
Yeah, the beast Raban.
But Raban, yeah, exactly. Which was Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, or Poppy. Even,
Poppy's the Baron. You know, floating around getting his pustules, you know, extracted. One of the, you know, honest to God, up right up there with the monkey brain scene from the second Indiana Jones, and I got a tough stomach. That was one of the most off-putting things, that scene from Dune. With the Baron.
Such beautiful skin, Baron.
I revel in your nastiness. You know. Oh.
Your pustules.
Yeah, it's... Yeah. And that's what we're going to see. So, I mean, if you want to see that, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that. I'd rather have Chuck Norris ahead of the Department of Education than see that.
Burf.
Imagine that one.
Yeah, that's tough on the bobblehead spring again. Hey, Albert, this has been wonderful, brother. Good to hear from you.
Yes, indeed. All right, you keep Ricola. Keep it on stock.
I'm good. Absolutely.
All right, we'll chat later.
All right, later, Albert. Right. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
The Sage of Southwest Wisconsin, that's our buddy Albert. And, yeah, I'm feeling a little better. If you're on hold, please stay there. We will come back to you post-haste. Excuse me. Yeah, I shouldn't have said that business about feeling better, huh? But I am. But, you know, hey, maybe we'll make it through the other 2 hours tonight. We can hope so. Like I said, if you're on hold, stay that way. Lines are totally stacked, so if you're getting busy signals or just won't connect, that's because all six lines are lit up. We'll take a little break. I'll try to find out who's on which line. And if there are any, and maybe some lines will open up if you want to jump into the conversation. This is, after all, Conversation Radio. If you're new to the program, this is what it sounds like. All the time. Really. So stick with it, and you're going to have a lot of fun, because we will, we will laugh our way into the apocalypse. I don't know. I said it the other night. I'm not afraid of 6'7" the skinny ass Arabs with portable dialysis machines living in caves in Pakistan, and some of them flying, getting NATO flights over to negotiate with Hamid Karzai, who, as Gary Trudeau noted, is apparently off his medication. No, that doesn't scare me. November the 2nd scares me. I mean, it scares me waterbowled. And I think for good reason. So let's take a little break. Green News Report is on its way with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. That's always a pleasure. So stick around, and we'll come back, and we'll get right back into the swing of things. You're listening to America's listener-supported liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn.
So green, I can stare for a thousand years, colder than the moon. It's been so long, and I've been putting out fire. With gasoline.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, October 21, 2010.
Anti-science candidates poised to take over Congress. Warning, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce wants to teach your kids about energy. The BP oil disaster, 6 months on. Plus, paint your wind tower purple.
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
I don't think we came from monkeys. I think that's ridiculous. I haven't seen a half monkey, half person yet.
Oh, my God. And real scientists have to debate with this guy. Glenn Beck, you are the missing link. This is your Green News Report. Today's Green News Report is sponsored by you. Yes, you. You help the Green News Report stay on your mainstream media public airwaves. We tell the truth, but can't do it without your help. Please stop by our website, greennews.bradblog.com, and hit that PayPal button to help contribute to our efforts. We rely on you. You can also PayPal to greennews@bradblog.com. Okay, Des, we have news this morning that yet another candidate for the U.S. Senate believes that global warming is a myth. Earlier this week, it was John Racey, the Republican candidate for Senate in West Virginia, who said,
here in the state of West Virginia, and the myth, and I say myth, that there is global warming.
And now we have the Republican from Colorado.
Yes, Ken Buck, the Republican nominee for the U.S. Senate in Colorado, said this week that, quote, global warming is a huge hoax. He was appearing at a campaign event with Senator James Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, saying, quote, Senator Inhofe was the first person to stand up and say this global warming is the greatest hoax that's ever been perpetrated.
Yeah, Inhofe said that some years ago, and he was really the clown in the U.S. Senate, but now we're poised to see all of these new senators coming on board who agree with crazy James Inhofe.
And they're not the only ones. Nearly all of the GOP candidates for Congress and governorships are climate change deniers. Here's Pat Toomey. He's running against Democrat Joe Sestak in Pennsylvania.
I don't think that man-made causes are the primary factor for global warming.
Well, at least in the case of Toomey, he concurs that global warming is happening. He just disagrees that it's man-made. And I suppose the science is less clear when it comes to that than it is that the globe is warming, as so many of these candidates simply deny. It's unbelievable.
And, of course, in the reality-based world, 2010 is on track to be the hottest year on record, following the hottest decade on record. Now, these anti-science Republicans have serious consequences, not just for the future of our clean energy industry and also for national security, but in the near term, actual accountability for corporate wrongdoing. Let's take the BP oil disaster in the Gulf. Wednesday of this week was the six-month anniversary of the explosion of the Deepwater Horizon rig in the Gulf of Mexico that killed 11 crewmen and led to the worst oil spill in the nation's history. Now, in the media frenzy over the midterm elections, a little over a week from now, the ongoing impact of the oil disaster in the Gulf is all but forgotten, especially on Capitol Hill, where oil spill legislation is still on hold in the Senate and going nowhere. Gulf Coast residents complain that the oil spill compensation fund is moving too slowly, and three environmental groups this week sued BP in federal court, alleging that the oil continues to harm endangered species. We have lots more at our website, greennews.bradblog.com.
And for those who don't know, yes, the oil is still coming ashore down there. But BP has fired a lot of their cleanup workers, and, of course, the media has moved on to other things.
Speaking of oil, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is moving into your classrooms. The Chamber is the biggest lobbying group in the country and has come under fire recently for its blitz of attack ads supporting Republican candidates with possibly foreign money. Politico reports that the Chamber of Commerce has now created an education guide on energy that it wants to put into 100,000 middle school classrooms.
Is anybody complaining that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is trying to indoctrinate our children?
Not yet so far.
Oh, well, I'm the first then.
The guide, called Shedding Light on Energy, aims to teach kids about government regulation of energy sources like oil and coal by asking questions like, quote, what do you think could happen if one of our energy sources was suddenly unavailable due to government curbs on production? Basically, they're referring to the EPA regulations on pollution.
Yes, that would be indoctrination. But for some reason, the folks on the right are not too worried about that happening, only when the President of the United States speaks to the school children. Go figure.
Finally, one of the drawbacks of wind energy is the problem of birds colliding with wind turbines. It's a pretty small but nonetheless a very real risk, but there may be a solution to paint them purple. A new study in Britain indicates that at night, bats, birds, and insects appear to like the white or gray turbines, but if you paint them purple, they don't fly into them anymore.
Paint them purple, don't paint them black. For more on that story and all the other ones we did not get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. You can subscribe to our broadcasts on iTunes, listen to us anytime on your mobile device via Stitcher Radio, and follow us 24/7 on the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
A bone to pick with Bubble Genius. They're making voodoo dolls of me, Sarah Palin, stuffed with elephant poo paper. You real Americans, don't retreat, reload. Don't settle for a doll. Stick pins in the real thing. Now my advisor said, oh, Sarah, I don't think you mean that. So I fired him on the spot for infringing on my First Amendment rights.
Bubble Genius, bath and body stuff that's good for your body and your funny bone. Try our apple pie scented Vote soap or Eau de Wonk perfume.
Those Bubble Geniuses sound like commie pinko socialists to me. I mean, vegan soap I wash with reindeer fat like a true American.
Bubble Genius for Election Day. Check out our promotion on Facebook to get a free soap for voting.
I repudiate your statement, you cackle of rads. The lamestream media is in the pocket of big soap.
Bubble Genius for Election Day and every day, but especially for Election Day.
So, how's that soapy, sudsy thing working out for you?
www.bubblegenius.com.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Indeed it is. It's about 21 minutes after the second hour. I am Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, Conversation Radio, America's Liberal Voice. And I'm going straight back to the phones in a minute. A couple of lines open if you want to have a run at them. You know the number, 877-443-2366, or on your nickel, 304-658-3333. I miss a show and feel terrible about it, especially when it's prayer meeting. And I was sitting around thinking about it, and I remember a long, long time ago, you know, I'm a little bit of a science fiction buff, and a long, long time ago, I remember reading a story, I think by Harlan Ellison. He's the guy who wrote the original script for the Star Trek episode City on the Edge of Forever and says it was absolutely butchered. Anyway, he wrote a story. I read it in a collection back when I was in, like, junior high school or something. And it was titled, For I Have No Mouth and I Must Scream. Well, that's what it felt like. That's what it felt like all last night and all today as I was wondering if I would actually make it back behind the microphone. But I'm here, and I'm glad of it. A couple of emails rolling in. Ron asking the question, what if we do a preemptive strike and start flooding the airwaves with stuff about Neil Bush? Well, we can do that. But you know what? It won't work. I'm not trying to be just a nattering nabob of negativity, but it won't work. Whatever sticks to that filthy family? What? There was Jeb, who was tough on drugs, until it was his daughter in rehab ordering in, a pepperoni pizza and an 8-ball of Coke. No, not an 8-pack, an 8-ball. Yeah, cocaine, in rehab for cocaine. And his son's doing donuts on the lawn, and any other schmuck would have gotten charged with felony property destruction. But he was a Bush. You know, there's the business with the Prescott Bush, George H.W.'s father, and his dealings with the Nazis. It didn't stick. It won't stick. These bastards are evil. And for some reason or another, the stuff won't. It's the ultimate expression of IOKIYAR. It's okay if you're a Republican. In the case of the Bush family, it's IOKIYAB. It's okay if you're a Bush. You can dodge the draft. You can be a total loser drunk. You can have felonious children. You can have a hateful old pearl clutching beast of a mother. Who talks about not wanting to see caskets on television because it was an offense to her beautiful mind? None of it sticks. But I agree, Ron, that we should be talking about this stuff. You know what? If he doesn't run in 12, I will gladly eat my words. But there is something about Bush and an election for president that just fills me with creeping dread. So we go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Jim, what's up?
You?
Just barely.
And they called John Gotti the Teflon Don?
Yeah, and but the Bushes, if John Gotti was Teflon, the Bushes are Tefal. I mean, nothing sticks.
Apparently so. Good Lord. You know, it's just amazing. I don't know who that voice is they use to imitate Sarah Palin. Is that Sarah Palin, or is that some bimbo from a John Waters film?
No, that's one of the magnificent women of Bubble Genius. And I'm glad you mentioned it, Jim, because I wanted to let folks know. They do a wonderful job, and they have great, wonderful, all-natural soaps. We met them out at Netroots Nation, and they are just an absolute hoot to hang around with.
You know, I'll tell you, if I could, I would go to New Orleans and visit the tomb of Marie Laveau. Are you familiar with her?
I am, as a matter of fact, the voodoo queen of New Orleans.
Oh, boy, sure. Well, instead of a voodoo doll of Sarah Palin and other fellow travelers, I think I'm going to erect a whole bunch of piñatas. And what I'm going to fill them with, I don't want to say on the air, because it's not really said in polite company.
Well, I think people just figured it out.
Because that's exactly what they're full of anyway. I just can't understand how people who are so stupidly wooden and woodenly stupid can manage to command so much attention in the media and are revered by so many people. But yeah, I can understand it too. Yeah, I can. I take that back. You know, back in the 1930s, there were a bunch of people that revered some guy with a mustache, weren't there?
Yeah, there were.
Until it fell down on their ass.
Well, and he made them feel, you know, he made them feel good. No need to think, no need to, no, just, you know, do as you're told, keep your head down, and all will be well. Thousand-year Reich, right?
Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, you mentioned Marie Laveau. Jim, to this day, there is a little bar on Decatur Street, right on the edge of the French Quarter, and it's called Marie Laveau's.
Been there.
And they make a just killer Bloody Mary.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful, wonderful cocktails, wonderful food. It's a fun city.
It is indeed.
Like I said, as far as November 2nd is concerned, in the military, we've got several things, one of which is an acronym, BOHECUS. Bend over, here it comes.
Again.
And for the people who are going to suffer in this thing, first to go, last to know.
It's the truth, isn't it?
Well, that's the way I see it. And, you know, I'm not a man who's given to making hasty judgments and things. I try to think about things and see what these things are about. And quite frankly, that's the only way I can see it. And they're just sticking it. They're going to stick it to everybody they possibly can.
And it. See, you understand that. I understand that. The Horn family understands that, Jim. What is it a function of extremely low room temperature IQs that keep these people? You know, because the teabaggers, the cannon fodder in the culture war, you know, the ones that are running around with their Obama is a socialist sign, you know, misspelled. They're the ones that are going to they are voting for their own suffering, are they not?
I think so. I really do. And, you know, I don't think they know what they're voting for, except sound bites and...
They're voting for stuff that makes them feel good.
Yeah, this feel-good stuff, which is...
I mean, do you remember... And there's not much difference. Do you remember Ronald Reagan's Morning in America ad, Jim?
I do. I remember so much about Ronald Reagan. For example... If you're not making $100,000 a year, you're broke. And I remember his use of the religion industry, and even the religion industry, even, what's his name, Falwell? Even Falwell, and I picked this up from the PBS thing, American God, the last week. Even Falwell said that he would never let anybody like Ronald Reagan use him again. Because here's Falwell rearing his ugly head in self-righteous indignation, protesting the fact that he was saying that Ronald Reagan took him in. And so many other of these people.
Well, Reagan was not religious.
Not at all. As a matter of fact, you know, he didn't even... I don't know what religious denomination he was, but I remember one of his henchmen, Mike Deaver, took Nancy and Ron to an Episcopal service. Well, they didn't even know enough about following the service, and there was Nancy, you know, just blah, 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 blah. What do we do now? What do we do now? I mean, you know, is there so much difficulty in proceeding to the altar and getting on your knees and taking communion? But, I mean, she didn't even know what to do.
Well, if you read Kitty Kelly's book, she shouldn't have had any problem getting on her knees.
Whoa. Whoa, there we go. There we go. I mean, you know.
Oh, I just pulled that one out of my hat, didn't I, Jim? I can't believe it. I actually took Jim aback with one.
Well, I mean, you know, I've read that story, too, about Nancy Reagan was quite good at whatever she did, and she was quite good at that particular act of giving pleasure to people who could advance her own cause.
She was a very giving person.
Yeah, very giving person. I mean, you know, oh boy, I don't know. It's just, the more I see, the more I just say, well, 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 well. Just when the screen has reached the heights of its fulfillment, new horrors appear. And, you know, Bank of America, you know, I can remember when Bank of America was an honorable institution. You know where that bank came from?
Doesn't that go all the way back to the origins of the country?
It goes back to, basically, the San Francisco earthquake and fire.
Oh, okay, okay.
And the founder of Bank of America, as we know it, was Amedeo Giannini. Now, he was the only guy in town who had sense enough to put his money in a box where he could get it out of the city when everybody else's money bank, you know, burned up in the fire that followed the earthquake, because the fire that followed that earthquake was worse than the earthquake itself in 1906.
That's true.
You know, a funny thing about that was about John Barrymore. Have you ever heard that story about John Barrymore?
No.
What his brother Lionel said about him?
No.
Well, at the time of the earthquake in 1906, Barrymore was in the St. Francis Hotel, and after the earthquake, his brother Lionel said, oh my God, it took an act of God to get him out of bed and the U.S. Army to put his ass to work. Because, you know, the Army dragged people or dragooned people out of their, you know, wherever they could and put a shovel in their hand. But, I mean, Giannini, you know, the Bank of America, like I say, used to be an honorable institution. I mean, for example, when David O. Selznick was making Gone with the Wind. Now, there are a lot of people who might not like Gone with the Wind, but as a film, it has its place in cinematic history.
Certainly.
Bank of America was the one who enabled O. Selznick to finish that film with Jock Whitney. So they'd run out of money. And they went on to perform a number of other honorable things to help this country and to be a financial institution worthy of merit. Now they have just, I don't know where they've gone. I guess they've gone where all the other financial institutions.
Well, it's what happens when you spend all of your time worshiping at the altar of Holy Prophet.
Well, Bob, there's nothing wrong with thinking of profit.
No, but it's when you elevate it to religious status that there's a problem.
Well, here's the thing. You know, isn't usury a sin?
Last I checked, yes.
I mean, not only is it a sin in the Quran, but also it is something... I mean, what's the difference between...
It's a sin in the New Testament, too.
It is. And what is the difference between their practices and, you know, the mob Shylocking operations in which they, you know, take advantage of people who do not have a lot of capital, and so they put them down and they assessed them horrible interest rates, or in which they, what they call adding points, vigorous, and things like that.
Yeah.
And if you don't do it, they'll either put a bomb through your window, or did, or they might send, you know, Guido over to break your legs.
Exactly.
That's what these people are doing. They're
and, I mean, look at the ruinous interest rates on these tax farmers that we were talking about late Tuesday night. 18% to 28% interest.
You know, that is beyond the pale of any sense of human decency, and also it's beyond the sense of any sound business practice. It really is.
And by the way, Kevin in Seoul, South Korea, says he wants to thank you for the lovely image of Nancy Reagan so early in his morning, and notes that Old Dutch was a Presbyterian.
Presbyterian.
Yeah. Now, me, I'm a Frisbyterian, Jim. We believe when you die, your soul goes up on the roof and you can't get it down.
Well, you know, I think Ronald Reagan basically had some type of religious thing that he could pull out whenever the opportunity would benefit him.
Well, right, because he was a political opportunist.
Exactly.
And he was an opportunist all his life. When he thought it would benefit him in Hollywood to be a socialist, he tried to join the socialists. But as Eddie Albert noted, they wouldn't let him in. They blackballed him. And that was the origin of Reagan's anti-socialist, anti-communist position, was that they wouldn't let him be one.
Well, you know, that fool was the head of the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes.
And was, at the same time, a secret operative for J. Edgar Hoover. And how many of his fellow thespians, actors, or whomever, did he turn in and write out and ruin their professional lives? Dalton Trumbo is one. I mean, after Reagan got through with him, with the HUAC committee, Trumbo couldn't write anything under his own name. And, you know, so many other people were harmed by his activities. And McCarthy's and Roy Cohn. And Ronald Reagan was in bed with Joe McCarthy. And
tried to ruin Arthur Miller, didn't they?
I'm sure they probably did. But, I mean, you know, if I were to enumerate a list of the people who were hurt, and it took them decades to, you know, recover... I mean, the, oh my gosh, who was the Leon Hellman?
Yes.
And Dashiell Hammett. Look at what they did to them. I mean, it was just terrible. And, I think at the Kennedy Center, when Reagan was in office, they had Leon Hellman there in the receiving line. And Nancy Reagan was going down.
You did it again.
Well, let me tell you. And there was another Hollywood producer who knew Leon Hellman quite well because a lot of her stuff was put into film. And she was a marvelous writer. And Leon Hellman, after Nancy passed by, said, "Do you know that woman?" He said, "No, honey, I just fucked her."
Whoa! That's a dandy.
My source is Kitty Kelly. And, you know...
And Kitty Kelly was never sued.
And she doesn't shoot blanks.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Jim, good conversation. I really appreciate it.
Well, I don't know how good it was, but, I mean, you know, it's the best I can do tonight.
You did fine. I think among other things, I think we generated some giggles out there.
That's good. We need a little laughter there, because Lord knows, God knows. Take care.
All right, you too, Jim. Bye now. Yeah. Calling from not too far away from here at all, that's our buddy Jim. And, you know, just to refresh your recollection, let's see if this is what I think it is.
It's morning again in America. Today, more men and women will go to work than ever before in our country's history. With interest rates at about half the record highs of 1980, Nearly 2,000 families today will buy new homes, more than at any time in the past 4 years. This afternoon, 6,500 young men and women will be married. And with inflation at less than half of what it was just 4 years ago, they can look forward with confidence to the future. It's morning again in America. And under the leadership of President Reagan, our country is prouder and stronger and better. Why would we ever want to return to where we were less than 4 short years ago?
That evil old bastard. More people are going to work than ever. Yeah. Why? Well, maybe that's a discussion for another program. Ron, adding to what Jim gave us, he said James Garner was Ronnie Reagan's VP when he was SAG president. He stated that Ronnie was, to paraphrase him, dumber than a sack of hammers. Well, I knew there was a reason I liked James Garner. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Hey, Cossack, what's up?
Not much. I'm back in the old cell. Oh, God.
In other words, you have exited civilization and gone back home?
Yep. I are here. God. It's rough, Bob. It's rough.
I think that's probably the understatement of the evening so far.
Yeah. It was, after coming back from the 40th reunion, I'm sort of realizing I'm older than I thought.
Yeah, that it sneaks up on you, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, especially when you go walking in the room and you're looking for that group of 18-year-olds you graduated with, and you see all these old people. And then you look in the mirror and you go, oh, my God.
I'm one of them. Yeah, when did this happen?
that's
one of the nice things about not seeing people for 50 years. It's in because everybody remains forever young and their lives have not piled up on them. And then you have to go to a high school reunion and shatter it all.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, there were a good number of our class who will remain forever young, but that's because they never got back.
Right.
It's not the way you want to remain young.
No. No, there is no alternative to the alternative to getting older is really not worth the price.
No. And it's kind of rough. It was nice to see the survivors, though. And it was kind of amusing.
So did you fly or drive or what?
I flew. There's a direct flight between here and BWI. So it takes all of about 2 hours to get there. And that makes it doable. So if it took much longer than that, I don't think I would have.
Nice cramped little regional commuter jet?
Southwest.
Well, not so bad.
Not bad at all. 737.
Oh.
Can't complain about that. And especially on the way up, we had a stewardess who was just a howl. Her safety briefing had everybody rolling in the aisles. It's great. Very sardonically given, sarcastically saying, anybody who wants to smoke can do so out on the wing.
Beautiful.
Totally deadpan. She was great. It was a fun flight.
I wish Southwest flew out of Charleston, but no.
Get done?
No, my only alternatives are Delta and some U.S. Scare, and recently American and United. And everything either goes through Atlanta, Cincinnati, Charlotte, or Detroit.
No direct flights anywhere.
And Chicago. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, there's direct flights to all of that, but.
Well, okay.
No, anything else you want to? Yeah, no.
Yeah, to go to D.C., fly to Atlanta, and then.
Well, no, there's a direct flight to D.C., but it involves one of those planes that fell out of the sky over Buffalo.
Oh.
I've taken that ride. And it only goes to Dulles, and going to Dulles is just, it's like going to halfway to D.C. and then riding the train for the rest of the ride.
Right. Well, it's still better than National Airport. I refuse to call it by its modern name.
Yeah. I had a buddy who was an air traffic controller, and when that name change came through, none of the controllers would use it.
Yeah, it's National Airport. That's what it is. That's what it's been called forever. You know.
Exactly.
He didn't build it, didn't have a damn thing to do with it. Yeah, tried shutting it down a couple of times, actually. So when he got all the pushback from Congress, they realized that wouldn't work too well.
Yeah, and I'm sure that didn't do you any good, me running the Ronnie Reagan Morning in America ad. And it certainly didn't help Kate any. She said, make it stop. She said, I'm having painful flashbacks. Morning in America. I lost wages, a union job, savings, stocks, my truck, my boots, and my hard hat, all before sunup. There's your Morning in America.
Yeah, it was Morning in America, all right, but it's O-U-R.
Yeah.
It's still Morning in America.
Grieving, yeah. Exactly.
And unfortunately, these buzzes aren't making it any easier. And I wonder when people are going to twig to the fact that the People's Party, the Tea Party, is no such thing. I mean, good grief, it's run by the Koch brothers. Hello, you know, if the Waltons had an AstroTurf group, that would be more people-oriented than the Koch brothers.
Yeah, without a doubt. Well, Cossack, it's good to talk to you. I'm glad that you are back home safe. Hope you're feeling okay.
Semi in one piece. I am going to get my head examined, however, next Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They need to take a look at my brain. And
well, that's a pretty good one, so they should, yeah.
It'll be interesting. see what's left in there. Oh, we looked in your brain. There's nothing there. Okay.
Well, good luck with that, and we'll talk soon.
All righty.
All right, later.
Take care, Bob.
Bye now. The Cossack calling from back home in Florida now.
Hey.
Hey, Juanita.
I had a couple of things about a couple of people. Cod, for one.
Yes, the cod.
Mm-hmm. I saw her little debate the other night.
Yes. Really? That's in the Constitution?
Yeah, but that wasn't all. She just kept on. Did you notice how she, did you see it?
Only excerpts.
Well, she kept calling him either Coons or by his first name was, I forgot his
Chris.
First name. She'd call him Chris sometime, and then she'd call him Coons, and then she'd call him Mr. Coons. And she was really nasty. And she was a little nasty thing. And then she found out, they told her she could interrupt. And then from then on, she kept interrupting him. You know, no matter what, they were asking each other questions, and no matter what, she wouldn't give him, let him answer. And she was telling him that she's asking him what the four freedoms were promised in the First Amendment. And when he started, you know, she'd interrupt. And finally he said to the panel, can we go on to another question? And she said, I guess you don't know. And that's what she said in her last, last statement. Well, he doesn't even know the four freedoms that are in, promised us in the First Amendment. But she was really nasty. She's just getting more and more. She's trying to be like Sarah, but Sarah, you know, shrewd. She's shrewd, and I mean that in a mean way. I don't mean that as a compliment. Shrewd is not nice to me.
I understand. She's hatefully calculating. How's that?
Yeah, but I don't know. Anyway, it was just so disgusting to me. And he's a nice guy, you know. He's very nice to her, you know. And he called her Miss O'Donnell. He never called her anything else. But I thought that was pretty insulting when she would call him just by his last name and not Mister, just his last name. You know, that was a slur.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then this morning, I went to sleep, and I had the Morning Journal, Washington Journal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I woke up to some guy. He was the Attorney General from Virginia, talking about, you know, he's one of the ones that's suing the government about the medical care, Obamacare, as they call it.
Yeah, Obamacare.
And he would say it was just completely unconstitutional. See, Bob, this is the first time in our country's history that anything's been passed that was unconstitutional. Because I know that people like him would have caught it if anything else had been passed that was unconstitutional, or if anything else had been done by a president from, you know, that was unconstitutional. These people would have caught him.
Well, of course.
They wouldn't let him get away with it. But this is unconstitutional. And people were calling in, and he said, well, I don't make policy. I just, you know, uphold the Constitution. And the people asked him about paying the people's money to do that. And he said, well, I think it's a well-spent money, you know. And some woman called in, and she says, I'm from Virginia. I guess he said something about people could go to emergency rooms, you know. You know how they say that?
Oh, yeah.
And this lady called in, and she said, I'm from Virginia, and said, you may not know, but if we go to the emergency room and owe a bill, they can take 25% of our paychecks. And she was telling about her daughter, you know, how that she had gotten, I don't know what, I didn't get what was wrong, but she was trying to pay on her home, and she's making $9 an hour. She had three children. And anyway, she tried to go to the doctor's office, and they wouldn't let her in, so she went to the emergency room and said it was $5,000. Well, they were, you know, taking out of her check, you know, and she was having a time.
Well, in places like Alabama, they'll take your license, your driver's license.
Oh, boy. Woo. Oh.
No kidding.
Wait till some of the people down here get a hold of that. But according to who we get in, I guess. But anyway, I thought, and he was so cold to her. And she told him, she said, you have no feeling. Because she said if it hadn't have been for her son helping his sister out, that she would have lost her home for that $5,000. And anyway, I think I've seen him before. But you know, Bob McCullen is in that group.
Yep.
But anyhow, another thing is I finally saw a debate between our three main senators. I found out that I got my sample ballot, excuse me, Bob. Anyway, and we've got like 10 people running for senator.
Oh, jeepers.
But, and about six running for governor. But I finally saw one of theirs, and, you know, talking about Jeb, you know, Roscoe, what's his name? Rancho?
Who?
The Republican, the Cuban guy from...
Oh, Rubio?
Rubio, yeah. You know who's behind him is Bush, Jeb.
No, not, why am I not surprised?
And Jeb was also behind McCollum. And I just hope and pray that that this guy don't win. But if you listen to him, he doesn't do anything except, you know, say he's going to do so-and-so, but, you know, in some of their ways of thinking, just like their thing about the rapture. You know,
no.
Now your clothes is going to fall off.
Some say that.
That used to be when I was so involved in that, you know, I was taught by, when I went to little churches, they didn't believe in it. And when I went to big churches, they did. It was big time. So, anyway, you didn't lose your clothes. People just turn around and you'd be gone, and they wouldn't know what happened. And all the babies would be gone. But your clothes weren't left behind. Now, I guess your false breasts and all kind of implants are going to be left behind.
Titanium hips just going to pop through the skin. And
yeah. But anyhow, so that's gotten, like you said about, you were talking to Albert, and I was glad to hear from him. I haven't heard from him in a while, or heard him in a while.
Well, I think Albert's been kind of busy.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you know, the girls are growing up, and
yeah, I know. But anyway, it was good to hear from him again.
Oh, I love hearing from Albert.
Yeah, I like his, when he comes up with some of the new stuff about energy and all. You know, he's really good on that. It's something I'm very interested in. But anyway, I'm gonna skip to what my ending. the trickle-down thing.
Yeah, trickle-down.
You know when it works?
When?
When you have slavery.
Well, there you go. And it really is, yeah.
Because you think about trickling down from the top, please. That's what they had in slavery days.
Yeah, why not call it dribble-down?
Yeah. But Oh, another thing that I saw the debate. I saw part of the debate for our governors, our two governors, and I like that little Alex Sink.
Yeah.
And she could give him what for, but they're neck and neck down here. I don't know, but Florida's a strange state. You know,
the Senate race is just insane because you've got a Democrat, you've got Rubio, and you've got Crist.
Yeah. And I'll definitely be voting for Meek. I know he would be great, but you know, a lot of the Democrats are not supporting him. They're supporting Crist. I'm talking about in the Senate and House and so forth. I forget now who all. But I did want to say one thing that I was looking at this sample ballot, and I'm going to get to vote against Charles Kennedy. You remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. He's in our Supreme Court, and we get to vote whether he stays in or not. And I get to vote no.
And you're going to tell him goodbye.
But you know what? Every time they have judges, I vote for them, even if I don't know them, because I vote no. If I don't know, if I've never heard of them, I vote no, because I fear at least some of them need to be out of there. Whether my vote counts or not, I have no idea. But
yeah, it's frustrating, isn't it? Yes.
Yeah, and we've got these amendment things to vote on. I'm sure every state pretty much does. And kind of, you know, they're tricky. They're always tricky the way they word them.
Absolutely.
Especially if it's something that the right wing wants to do. But anyway, I hope you get to feeling better, Bob.
Well, thank you, Juanita. I think I will as well.
What are you taking for it?
Nothing. Just.
Have you tried gargling with salt water?
Oh, that I have been doing. Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sometimes does the trick. But it's like you got a sore throat, right?
Yeah, and well, it was almost like laryngitis yesterday.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and the president need to quit fooling around.
Well.
Because that's what he's got.
I understand. Yeah. I'll take that to heart, Wendy.
Okay.
You
okay.
Have a wonderful evening, all right?
You too.
All right,
night-night.
Bye now. And that's Juanita calling from Central Florida. And let's see, onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey,
Susan.
First of all, I would like to thank Jim for the Pepsi I got up my nose. When he came up with that name for Dick Cheney.
Count Dicula. It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, great. Oh, man. That's one way to clear the sinuses, I guess.
Well, and I'm getting remedies now. Warrior Witch in the chat room just told me for my throat I need to try honey, lemon, and wild turkey.
That'll do it.
Yeah. That'll cure what ails you and what don't.
If nothing else, it'll get you so smashed you don't really give a rip. The reason... Oh. You know what? You want to know what I've been doing while I was on hold?
What's that?
Voting.
Really?
We have a mail-in ballot in Oregon, remember?
Well, that's true, true, yes.
So I've been sitting here filling out my little ballot.
Excellent. Well, you know, I did see a story earlier today saying that early voting is the people voting as Democrats... There's a lot more Democrats doing early voting than there are Republicans.
Yeah.
Or teabaggers.
I saw a story, couple of districts in Ohio. They're just landslide. It's not just the percentage of Democrats to Republicans, it's the physical, it's the amount of votes that have come in. It's just a huge number of votes. And they're all Democrats.
Gotta wonder what's up.
Yeah, they're not claiming that this is gonna go nationwide, but in these two districts, waha. Something, you know, just somebody lit a fire and, you know, that's a nice thing. You know. Anyway, the reason I called is two things. First of all, one of my pet peeves.
Okay.
The term Obamacare.
Don't you just hate that?
Yeah.
You remember when it was Hillary Care?
Yeah. Now, it's bad enough when the Republicans do it. I expect it from the Republicans. But when you hear Democrats... use it. Liberals use it. Then that kicks me off. And I've heard it tonight on this show.
Oh, I've used it. But I try not to use it in the way the Republicans use it.
I don't think we should be using it at all. It should be the Obama health care plan or whatever.
But the thing is, the thing I object to the most about that, Susan, is that it wasn't his health care plan.
I know.
He left that to the Congress to do. I mean, do you remember the debate? I remember the debate.
So do I.
You know, the right wing's just a bunch of, you know, they call it Obamacare because they're a bunch of sorry lying sacks of dung.
It should be health care reform, ideally.
But please, remember, Susan... We're dealing with teabaggers here, and right-wingers, and Republicans. The only reason they call it Obamacare is because they can't get away with calling it N-word care.
Exactly. But I do think that, at the very least, the Democrats should not be helping them.
Oh, we're very good at advancing their frames. It's damn frustrating.
Right. Now, My other pet peeve, I really wish just once, if I hear this on television, some pundit saying this, just once I will be able to die a happy woman. I want to hear some pundit on a national TV program explained that the reason that the deficit jumped so much from what it was in Bush's era to the Obama era was because the, you know, the wars were off the books and so on and so forth. But we all know that already. What I want to hear is the pundits say, in other words, the Bush administration was cooking the books, and if this were anybody else, that would get you 2 to 10 in Attica. Because it would.
Because it would. Absolutely.
I will die a happy woman then. Oh, and there is one other thing that the Bushes have gotten away with.
Okay.
Treason.
Of which variety?
How about the attempted overthrow of the U.S. government?
Well, that's true.
against Roosevelt. Now, if that's not treason, I don't know what is.
They were just trying to take their country back. And I just saw this story a little bit ago, just, you know, when we were talking about wing nuts. Raul Grijalva, Arizona Democrat, member of the House, his office is in lockdown right now.
Lockdown?
Yeah. An envelope containing white powder was mailed to his Tucson office.
Oh, here we go again.
And the envelope was decorated with multiple swastikas.
Oh, you creeps. You.
Yep. Probably another, you know, another Beck viewer.
Blink.
Right.
There isn't words that I could use that are just filthy enough. All I know is your mother was impregnated by your left-handed son.
There you go.
You're a stack. I know. How's Ferg?
Getting around. He's got to get serious about his physical therapy. But apart from that,
yeah. If he does, tell him if you don't, he's going to regret it big time. And Margie.
We're trying to find out what's going on there.
Tell her to hang in.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and she is. She's having as good a spirit about it as possible, but sheesh. You know, we live in the never a dull moment department around here.
Hey, I know the feeling.
Susan, you have a good night.
Give my love to Agnes.
Sure will.
Take care of the throat.
I'm a gonna. All right. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.
News Ninja Susan calling from Oregon, and we go onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob, it's Richard in Northern California, just outside of Richmond.
Hey, Richard, what's up?
Well, got a few things on my mind. I got home, decided to give you a call. Let me talk about Obamacare. I think we should really call it Baucus Care.
Well, isn't that the truth?
Yes.
I mean, wasn't it any idea of universal single payer or a public option? Wasn't that killed by Max Baucus?
Oh, yes, right at the top, right at the very beginning, he steered it. It was his baby. And one of the things I'm really upset about is that Congress adopted the Senate's plan, if you remember.
Indeed.
So, a few things on my mind. I was driving around a certain area of the California Delta It's kind of obscure. The area is called Shiloh. There's a streetcar museum around there. And, boy, do they have windmills.
Really?
God, must be thousands of them. And what's really interesting about this to me is the terrain that they're on. Because the existing windmill farms that I've seen have all been either on mountain ridges or mountain passes.
Sure.
Where a lot of wind exists. This is more of rolling hills, low rolling hills, pasture land. And it's not very far outside civilization. I believe Robert Crumb lived in this area for a while.
Well, I don't know if you heard the story Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen had earlier. Some scientists are surmising that the bird and bat kill problem with windmills can actually be solved rather simply with a paint job.
I'll give you another solution, is put a shroud on the damn things. Put shrouds on them just like fans have.
Well, apparently bats and birds aren't interested in them if they're painted purple.
Yeah, that sounds good to me, too.
And I like the idea of purple windmills.
Yeah, whatever works. Whatever works. Windmills are exciting. My God, I interviewed with a windmill company. Jeez, it must have been 20 years ago. And the whole idea for the company, it was called U.S. Wind Power, and it was invested in by a bunch of doctors who wanted to use it as a tax loss. And the irony was that they started making money, you know.
Oops.
And the company's not there anymore. It's, it's really interesting. These guys were really into it. But that was part of the huge wind farm that's on Altamont Pass. And these things, you know, what there are companies building them. And I have a feeling that these might be Chinese windmills. I dread that.
It's likely true. That or Spanish or maybe German.
Yeah, they look good. They're nice looking. They're more attractive than the older ones. Anyway, let's talk about politics. California politics right now. You know, Meg Whitman, I hear today, is neck and neck with Jerry Brown. And what I would say to anybody who knows any Republicans or people who want to vote for her is to just reflect on what kind of customer service they got from eBay when she was running it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there wasn't any. If you had a problem or a question, you could not reach them. They didn't publish their phone number. There was no way to get a hold of these people. You couldn't even chat with them online. The only thing that you could do was hurl yourself against their FAQs. You know, their attitude was go fack yourself. And, that's the kind of governor she's going to be. That's how responsive she will be to her constituency. The attitude is going to be just get lost. Go away. Don't bother me. And then, in the case of money and elections, the one I remember previous to this was when Michael Huffington was running against Dianne Feinstein. And it was really strange.
Yeah, that was back when Arianna was a Republican, right?
That's right. And she was sort of running his thing. And what was really fascinating about this was that he was an invisible candidate. He was nowhere to be found. He did not campaign. And this was all done with ads and with Ariana's appearances. And the frightening thing about that was that he almost won.
Yeah.
In terms of the vote count. So that's the real scary part. I mean, I can think of a lot of reasons not to vote for Feinstein, but, this is a whole other slant to this. This is, somebody buying the office. So she won by a hair. So we've been here before, but I think people have forgotten how close it was. Finally, I have another Hobson's. Is it Hobson's Choice?
Yeah.
The horse by the door,
or no horse at all?
Yeah, I'm back in that position. We have a woman running for Attorney General named Kamala Harris. She's the Democrat, and she's a real climber. This woman came out of the San Francisco political machine and has some real bad baggage that I remember, which was that she was working for the district attorney in San Francisco, a guy named Terry Hallinan, older fellow who was a true old left liberal, a great guy. You know, he wouldn't push death penalty for anything. And she ran against him. He was her boss. She ran against him in a real mudslinging campaign and got his office. So, I don't live in San Francisco anymore. It's been a long time. But, you know, when somebody does that sort of thing, it's like they're on my shit list. I'm not going to vote for them. So I thought, well, who am I going to vote for? Okay. I didn't want to vote for the Republican and the Democrat.
Right.
You know, disgusting. And so I thought, well, I'll vote for the Peace and Freedom Party. I mean, who the hell am I going to vote for? You know, Peace and Freedom Party. And then, we have a proposition on the ballot to allow medical marijuana. And the Republican candidate for this office is saying that he doesn't care what the result of this proposition is. He's going to bust people for pot no matter what. So, who the hell do I vote for?
Oh man, you've got a problem on your hands.
It's a real dilemma. It's like you have, with Ray Hall.
Yeah. What do you do?
Vote for? Huh?
What do you do?
I don't know. I don't have an answer. I don't have an answer. You can't vote for Ray Hall. I heard Ray Hall on your program. How many years ago was that?
Oh, God. Probably four.
Yeah, and I thought, gee, sounds cool. Yeah, I sound like a nice guy.
Well, no, he does. He gets stuff right. he was actually over in Iraq trying to keep the Iraq war from happening, and that took a hell of a lot of courage. He's got a great environmental record outside West Virginia, but here it's blast baby blast.
And he called you names, right?
Oh yeah.
Well, you ever try to have a chat with this guy?
Oh yeah, sure. I mean, I've said that they have a, it was a few years back, they have a chili fest in Beckley, and it's a fun thing because people can actually walk around the street tasting the chili, drinking beer, And the Nick was there, and we talked a little bit. And, he's an okay guy. But he's not an okay guy.
Now, I'm assuming that he's beholden to these interests.
Oh, they beholden? Beholden? They own him.
Okay.
I mean, he's a wholly owned subsidiary of the coal industry.
Okay, so there's your motive.
Sure.
Ugh.
He got bought and had the common decency to stay bought.
Okay, so I've been thinking that when we have to deal with these fake Democrats or partially fake Democrats, what did Molly Ivan say? You got to dance with them what brung you.
Yeah.
And they're owned in that way, and I think that what we need to do, and sort of I'm talking hypothetically, is the one tool that we have at our disposal is to threaten these people. That, you straighten out or we're voting against you. I don't know of any other power.
Well, I think the answer is in the primaries.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with
that. But we're just not doing that yet.
Yeah. These people are scary. I've been wondering why have our Democratic representatives been such wusses, Why have they behaved like they're being blackmailed? And I believe that the Dinos have a lot more power than we think they do.
No, I, not me. I don't underestimate them. They run the Democratic Party.
Well, do they? I mean, numerically, I don't know. I mean, I'm just asking rhetorically. What? I don't know, but. It's like we don't have a Tom DeLay of our own.
No, we don't have anybody that does that arm twisted stuff.
Yeah, I mean, who was the last one? What, Lyndon Johnson, for God's sake?
Yeah.
Was he the last one? I mean,
Tip O'Neill did some of it.
Yeah. But, you know, you're thinking back, I don't know how old you were, Bob, at the time when Kennedy was alive.
No, I was 10 months old when he was killed.
Oh, boy, what a day that was. Jesus, I remember where I was. I was on the IRT at Grand Central Station when somebody came up to me and told me, Jesus Christ, I was changing from the express to the local. That was that day. And, you know, Kennedy couldn't get anything done. The Congress was against him. It was called at the time the Do-Nothing Congress.
Yeah, Harry Truman had one of those too, didn't he?
I don't see. That's when I was too young. I was too little. I think, you know, maybe 5 years old or something. And so I was out of it. The first time I was cognizant of politics was when Joe McCarthy was on TV every day, and I ran home from school and watched him, and I knew he was evil. You know, how much can a child take in? But I took it in. But anyway, you know, Kennedy had the Do Nothing Congress, and it was up to, it was really Johnson who put through his plans. You ever think about that?
Yeah, right.
You know, when Johnson came in after Kennedy, Johnson could twist arms, Johnson could do stuff. Kennedy couldn't do it. And our...
But that's because there was a trade-off, Richard. Johnson got to do stuff, like his Great Society and Medicare and things like that, because he agreed to escalate the war in Vietnam.
Okay. Now, this I don't...
Yeah, I mean, I've always thought it was a quid pro quo.
It could be. I mean, when I look at, you know, people are talking about they got these great plans to put Americans back to work, you know, with this program, that program. And I was in Connecticut going to school and looking at the state's economy. I'm going somewhere with this. Just bear with me. Businesses were leaving Connecticut. Industry was leaving Connecticut. And, you know, you had these cities. Danbury was known as the hat capital of the country. They made hats.
Yeah.
You know, and Hartford, my God, the manufacturing, all the typewriters came out of Hartford. The insurance companies were there, but they're not too, you know. What does an insurance company make? Money. But, toys were made all over the state, you know, musical instruments. Metronomes were made in New Haven, Connecticut. A.C. Gilbert was in around there somewhere, and they were making American Flyer trains and Erector sets and all that stuff. There were mills that made, you know, thread. One city I lived in, Willimantic, the American Thread Company was there. They had mostly moved to the south. But see, all of these industries kind of trickled away. And what was left was the munitions industry, what are we going to call them? The military suppliers, the military industrial complex. So as these businesses left, what you had left over was Electric Boat making submarines in New London. You had United Aircraft making jet engines in East Hartford for fighter planes. And you had Sikorsky making helicopters in Bridgeport. You know, and you look at this stuff and you say, well, what is the fundamental base of the American manufacturing economy now? And I suspect it's the military industrial complex.
You're correct.
I'm not sure, you know. I mean,
it's the last sector of American industry that makes anything.
It seems that way, you know, and if I there's a library near me which has a take me box, you know, where people dump magazines in there, and I take them home. Boy, do I read good stuff, you know.
Yeah.
I read interesting things, and one of the things that gets left there every once in a while is Politico, the print edition. And it's like, I read that. That's an interesting magazine to read because it's got a lot of backstories and, you know, backdoor skullduggery and stuff going on. And one of the things that I notice is who's advertising there. Okay, who's advertising to the politicians and their staffers in this newspaper that comes out every single day that Congress is in session? See, you don't see that in Charleston, right?
No, not so much.
Or Beckley, you know, and I don't even see it normally out here in California. Yeah, I go online, they have a website, and there's stuff on there, but the print edition is what, you know, people read on the subway in D.C., and, you know, it gets delivered to them. It's not quite like what's online. And in there, we have full-page ads, you know, by all these corporations that make military stuff. And they have pictures of all the, you know, pictures of all their employees and their subsidiaries and their employees. And it's like, oh, my God. So if you're talking about tying this back to Lyndon Johnson, if he made a deal, there's a lot of lobbying money and stuff like that, influence from these corporations. In other words, they're the people who are in it for the money. That's my bottom line.
No, I think, yeah.
You know, so, like, why didn't Clinton sign the landmine treaty, you know? You keep wondering, what the hell happened there? Why did we not sign on to that thing? And the only thing I can think of is, you know, we got guys making landmines here. They don't want to lose out on the action. Well,
that's a good dollar, that landmine dollar.
Exactly, exactly. So how are we going to get out of this? I don't know. Part of this is, I think, one thing that where, in general, we are wusses, again, a great word, is that we don't know how to fight Republicans, and they're mopping the floor with us. And, you know, they have slogans. We don't. They have the megaphone. We don't. So I think we really have to be smart and get to work. So I have a slogan for us, and here it is.
Okay.
Put it on your bumper. What has a Republican ever done for you?
That's beautiful, Richard. It's short. It asks, you know. That's perfect. What has a Republican ever done for you?
Yeah.
Because what's the answer? The Republican Party has been after my family for, you know, 2 or 3, 4 generations now. And not kidding.
How do they do it? How do they do it where you are? See, I don't know. I'm out here.
Well, I mean, but no, I mean, it's, I mentioned it the other night on the air. My grandfather was an up-and-coming young businessman. He lived out in the middle of nowhere, but he was still doing business. And he had a good business. A general store, he had the general store, the post office, and the sawmill all together.
Oh, it sounds good.
And, selling dry goods and stuff like that and maintaining credit accounts with the locals. And he was okay. He was going to be okay.
I remember you talking.
And then the Republicans destroyed the economy. And, you know. And the business about Wall Streeters on the ledge jumping, you know, maybe that happened a couple of times. It didn't happen a bunch.
Well.
But what it did do was destroy little businessmen like my grandfather, and it destroyed him.
Yes.
Because he kept the store open as long as he could and kept extending credit to people so they wouldn't starve.
And they couldn't pay him.
And he knew they couldn't pay him.
Yeah. So what did the Republicans want with him?
What the Republicans wanted with him is what they want with all of us. Richard, the Republican Party wants a servile, feudal society in which everyone that isn't part of their little club lives in a state of constant fear and dread.
I don't know what they actually do want.
Because that gets them cheap labor. That's what they want.
They don't need cheap labor anymore, Bob. They can outsource for anything they want. They don't need us. They just need us to elect them.
Right, and then they got to go and send everything overseas where the labor got even cheaper.
Exactly. See how much.
So they do still need them.
Where? You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah. But I mean, we've got to empower them. They have to be empowered to do these things.
Right. I see them as a kleptocracy, is what they want, and they'll screw each other too. You know, I think we know that.
Yeah, I think so.
Huh?
Yeah.
You know, the big fish will eat the little fish, and the local Chamber of Commerce people don't realize that they're patsies for the big ones. But that's going on. Well, I think I'm out of steam.
I understand. Richard, it's awful good hearing from you, though.
Yeah, you too, man.
All right, take care.
Bye.
Bye now. And let's see, onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Hey, Sandra.
Hey, listen, you know, I have to, I really got to touch on the Anita Hill thing. Oh, my God. I mean...
Did that just make your eyeballs roll back in your head?
No, because it's so funny because Malloy hit, when he hit on exactly what popped in my mind because of just addict behavior when he still was home, bitch, drunk.
Well, you know, it's funny because the first I saw that story, Sandra, was Roger Ebert tweeted it.
Oh, okay.
And he said sometimes people use the phone while drinking.
Oh, no, he didn't, really?
Yeah, that was his tweet.
So we might be on, anyway, because I just fell out. I said, damn, so now you're saying someone else mentioned that. Because she had lost her mind, and Anita, God bless her, she said, oh, no, bitches. F you. You know what I mean?
and that was the right thing to do.
Oh, it was great. I'm so, you know, these black women, her and Sherrod, they're like, oh, no, I'm not the one. Find another nig, because they're coming out swinging. And I love it.
Well, I'm proud of her for just saying that she was going to stand by her story.
Well, not only that, but, I mean, that bitch, I'm sorry, I'm listening to her. She's going to ask her to apologize to her butt-ugly husband? Oh, no. I can't even believe it that story came out, because what is she doing dragging it up after 20 years? Is she stupid or she's drunk, you know?
Well, I just ran across a story that's fascinating. There's a woman who is a former girlfriend of Slappy Thomas, and she has maintained her silence for quite some time. But she now says that she can believe every element of Anita Hill's story because that's the kind of guy Clarence was when she was dating him herself.
Oh, well, no, listen. I mean, I always believed it from the beginning, and it's funny that guess who else is in the news who was right up there defending his ass from the get? Do you know who I'm talking about?
No, who?
Juan.
Oh, sure.
William.
Yeah.
Now, it's funny because when I saw him, because I always, you know, I was upset with him after looking at him at those hearings all them years ago. And so for him to get fired, I was laughing. I said, uh-oh, Negro problem. And so now all these cracks are coming out trying to defend him, right?
Oh, yeah. The Joe Scarborough just about had an on-air aneurysm this morning.
Right. And it's so interesting because they didn't say nothing when they, said boo about the Jews. And they've been slagging off Muslims nonstop. You can't have, how many ways can you have it? If you're going to be doing that.
Well, and he got, and lo and behold, he got himself a tasty little $2 million contract from Fox.
Well, of course he did. I mean, and, you know, and good riddance to you, where all them other freaks go. You know, all of it is, like, really disgusting. And, you know, I was quite surprised that NPR went that far. It's about damn time. I mean, if you're going to roll like that, at least keep it consistent. Personally, I think that all those firings are unnecessary across the board to me, because they got Limbaugh and Beck on 24/7. No one ever addresses them racist assholes.
No.
So how come you're going to fire these other people? You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, I do.
And so that's my thing. It's like, oh, no, it's, you know, free speech. If corporations can buy speech now, why in the world should I be concerned about the ethnic slurring? Which one's worse, actually?
Yeah, well, it's a damn fine point. But you know, but the remark that he made, though, you know, God Almighty, I mean, I see a Muslim and I feel nervous. You know, I rode from New York to I rode from Atlanta to New York on a big old jet airliner, seated next to a bunch of guys who were speaking some I think they were Turks. I don't know, though. They may have been Saudis. Who knows? But you know what? They didn't make me nervous. You know what made me nervous? The kid, the 9-year-old kid sitting behind me who kept burying her feet in the back of my chair.
Right.
You know, I got my kidneys kicked for 2.5 hours. The scary Muslim dudes, not so much.
Right, you didn't want to do a Wayne Brady on some child, I understand.
Right, yeah, I mean...
Well, no, it's just... No, but the whole thing, he just got called on it. That's what they're upset about. Like those Christians who want to bash gays and bully gay children, these people get called on it and they flip out. I've never seen anything like it. It's like they want carte blanche to discriminate, harass, and I guess...
They want their favorite words back.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean,
they want to be able to have their Laura Schlesinger moment in public and not be called for it.
Right, and this is the thing and it's incredible to watch, because the freak out that's going on, that NPR had the nerve to exercise their prerogative. I mean, please, I just.
And once again, you've got people out there blathering about how Juan Williams' right to free speech has been infringed upon. And that's one of those little things. Susan was talking about pet peeves a little bit ago. That's one of those things that drives me nuts. Because Juan Williams did not have a First Amendment right to free speech on NPR. He had a contractual right. And NPR chose to exercise its contractual right as well. And lo and behold, you know, here's Fox, and they've exercised their contractual right.
Well, no, but once again, though, we are being subjected to this bread and circus, you know, when in the meanwhile, someone needs to explain to me why the Justice Department is also independent now on this don't ask, don't tell, but torture, antitrust, religious issues, never a word, can't touch it, can't do it. You see what I mean?
Well, yeah. Well, here's the perfect example. So the Department of Justice appealed Don't Ask, Don't Tell, that ruling. All right. And John Fox was telling me a little bit ago that there was an argument to be made that Rachel Maddow had mentioned about, you know, you do this so the thing will logically run its course through the court system. Okay. Well, but there's a problem. Because about a week before the DOJ appealed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell ruling, they refused to appeal and let stand a U.S. Court of Appeals case that says that small groups wishing to gather and demonstrate at national parks no longer have to obtain a permit from the Park Service.
Yeah.
That they let stand, and it was brought by fundamentalist religious groups that want to, I don't know, try to go out and save grizzly bears. I don't mean save them from being killed. You know, get them all religious.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's not consistent. So for them to you know, for everyone to scream, because I've seen a few, you know, liberal bloggers trying to justify yet again, you know, what's going on with that. And it's like there is no way you can do it because they're inconsistent and their independence is just not it's random. I mean, I can't buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and what's more, the case, the National Parks case, dadgummit, that thing was brought, lo and behold, by that obnoxious, just excrescent Alliance Defense Fund. And that's, you know, that's a fundamentalist lawyer group that goes to bat so that fundies can make life miserable for those of us who don't want anything to do with them.
I'm busy.
The thing that, it's either one way or it isn't, Sandra.
Well, I know, and it's just kind of, you know, once again, you know, the sort of minorities are getting the short end of the stick again. I mean, gay people. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And don't get me wrong. I, for one, am not that, you know, the whole military thing as a way of legitimizing yourself as a group in this country is disturbing at best. But it's a tradition because, you know, Truman just used the stroke of a pen to start the desegregation process of the Army. So I don't want to hear that this policy can't be annihilated. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And it's sort of, you know, and he also did that for the civil servants, too. So don't, you know, I don't want to hear all the processes at this point. That's just a low to me. I just think that Obama is just talking out his ass, you know?
Well, if you've got to, you know, if you've got to defend all the laws on the books, then you've got to defend all the laws on the books.
Right. We know. That's what I'm saying. There's no way. Because they are quite happy to let high government officials commit treason, for all I can see. And we look ahead, you know, and not back. And he could have just let this ruling stand, and we'd be, you know, on our way. So they're not doing it. So I'm not gonna.
Yeah, but once again, Sandra, isn't that a case of what I mentioned earlier with Democrats who negotiate from a position of fear?
No, it's the exact example of that, and it's just you know, it's just too much. It's too much to look at, and also. I gotta say, you know, it's kind of amusing on one level, but I'm so sick of these dumbass Republicans wallowing in their ignorance. It's really too much. The Christine O'Donnell and that bitch who's calling people Asians. I mean, you know, this is like, it's so insulting to me.
Oh, and you know she got stupider today, right?
Oh, what? I have tuned out because I can't deal. Anyway, what is it?
Yesterday. She had a debate yesterday. And was asked by the moderator, give me a name, Christine, of someone in the U.S. Senate across the aisle that you're comfortable working with. Well, she's not a senator anymore, but I could definitely have to say Hillary Clinton. And then Chris Coons comes in and says, one of the real risks as we go forward is that if we elect someone who literally cannot name a single currently serving senator in my party with whom she would work, and, of course, Christine then screams, Senator Lieberman!
Well, was that after someone whispered it to her?
No, I mean, it came to her. You know, Jesus told her. Jesus whispered, you know, Joe Lieberman in her ear. Never mind the fact that Joe's not a Democrat.
No, but see, the thing is, though, that dumb bitch didn't even understand the First Amendment. I was just like, are you kidding me with this? You know, it was incredible just to sort of listen to her go on about separation. I'm like, are you kidding? Oh, it was hideous. I don't find it funny, you know. I don't know why it's not, you know, who are these people and where are they from?
Yeah, because, no, it's really not funny, Sandra, because is it going to be funny when she's in the Senate?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, you know, and don't throw Al Franken, because that fool is graduated from Harvard, comes across the street
with a math degree. You know, he didn't graduate from Harvard in basket weaving studies.
Yeah, I don't even care if it's Harvard so much. I'm just saying the man has some qualifications. I mean, it could be
yeah.
for any university. I'm just saying there's some sort of floor.
Well, you know, Megan, our listener Megan, is over in Delaware, and she just messaged me, Sandra, and she said, I got instantaneous high blood pressure watching that debate. Just blew the mercury right through the top of the sphygmomanometer.
No, and because it's not. I mean, it's just sort of we're being hammered with this, what's that movie you guys are always dropping?
Idiocracy.
Yeah, you know, we're just being hammered with this, and... I'm sorry, I'm really not amused, and I'm sick. Every time I look at Yahoo or any of these sort of aggregate sites, how badly the Democrats are poised to lose, and it's just like, really? Is this really true? Now,
well, that's part of a concerted strategy to keep people home.
And that's what I'm saying. It's just because I keep seeing now that the early voting, it's like they got big turnout so far from Democrats. People are all shocked. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Which I think is quite interesting. And, you know, they keep going back and forth here in California with, you know, Nutmeg, the way she's
Sorry.
she's spending amazing sort of micro-targeting that's just costing hundreds, you know. And she's still, you know, she keeps going back and forth, you know, about as far as leading, but she still isn't, you know, it's still a dead heat. But the sheer amount of money that's going on.
Oh, and, you know, I asked that question the other night. What is that? You know, money can do things. Money can accomplish things when it's spent the right way.
Well, Brown don't have the money for that kind of high-tech micro-targeting. It's
no,
incredible.
No, hell no, he doesn't.
And he's not. And she's hitting, I'm talking about just crazy kind of marketing, like in about, you know, all the different languages in California, cross-referencing with, you know, all kinds of demographics. I mean, anyway, so I don't really know what's going to happen here, you know.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. I feel like I'm 12 days from going to a horror movie that really scares me.
Well, I'm not, yeah, no. The whole thing is sort of anyway, because I think they'll be doing the investigations from the start, right?
That's what they said.
And also, is it true?
They may try to get DNA testing for Barack Obama to, you know, prove that he's Malcolm X's son.
So basically, if we get this sort of where they have one of the houses, it's just going to be gridlock, right? Is that the best that we can hope for?
Well, I guess that is the best we can hope for. They have many of them vowed to outright shut down the government.
Okay, we're back to that possibility again.
Yeah, and you've got one, I forget where he's running, but he's a congressional candidate who has said that he just wants to, okay, fine, if we can't repeal the health care reform, we'll just defund it.
Yeah.
We just won't appropriate any money for it.
Just incredible. And I don't even know. That's why I'm hanging on to those stories like the Anita Hill thing, because at least it gives me some sort of amusement.
Oh, you know, but the funny thing is, and Texas Betsy referenced this earlier in the program, the reason that Anita Hill stuff is out there now is because it's becoming obvious that that Slappy has been absolutely flouting anything resembling judicial ethics. He is an intimate part of these Koch brothers' little secret meetings.
Hey, right? No, I saw that, and I'm thinking, okay. See, that's what I mean about the whole rule of law and the state of our. I mean, it's just not representing anybody anymore. I don't, except for those people, and it's just kind of like, how can we get rid of these Supreme Court people? They're obviously in breach, aren't they?
You know, if we had a Democratic Party, and like Bartkop says, should I even continue with any guts, we would be impeaching these bastards.
Yeah, no, I thought.
You know, the Citizens United decision was an opportunity to outright impeach John Roberts. Because it proved that he committed perjury in front of the Senate during his committee hearings. All that balls and strikes business.
Well, and exactly. But I think that the whole Supreme Court, I've always thought that they were totally marginalized. Well, I don't want to say all the way back to, what was the first justice name?
John Marshall?
Marshall, I want to go all the way back to there, but I could. But let's just go back to 2000. You know, it's like, hello? That was the end of their, role in this government, as far as I'm concerned. And now...
Yeah, and that court was presided over by a junkie, lest we forget.
Exactly, a junkie that used to scare people of color away from voting.
That was his history.
You know, but now, I look at that court and I think, well, hold on. When they came down with the sort of board, I can't remember the segregation one. Brown.
Yeah, Brown versus Board of Education.
Right. You know, the president had to send out the troops to enforce it. So, you know, their decisions aren't enforceable, yet we have turned our democracy inside out with this money decision. You see what I mean?
And the thing is, I was looking at a list the other day, Sandra, of how long it took to ratify the various amendments to the Constitution. You know, one only got ratified, it took 200 years. And I forget which one it was, but it was first proposed, it was the Congressional Pay Raise Amendment. And it was first proposed in 1791.
All right, okay.
And it was finally ratified in like 1995.
Wow.
And so, you know, for us to go through the legal process that is designed to deal with bad decisions by the Supreme Court, i.e. the constitutional amendment provision, we may never, the Citizens United decision, I don't harp on it a whole bunch, but the fact of the matter is, we may never get well from this. Citizens United, for political purposes, may be America's Prop 13, what it is to California.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, it's beyond serious, but, you know, I just don't think people, don't have the understanding or the political will, because at the end of the day, Congress could, change that ruling.
Yeah, they could, but they have to have the will to do it. And you know what? What I pointed out early on when this decision came out was that, you know, it's not the actual spending of the money. It's the implicit threat of it.
Oh, yeah.
And the threat alone is enough to make any politician who wants to keep himself in office from doing anything about it. You know, lo and behold, the only people who have any guts in the Congress are the Barney Franks and the Anthony Wieners and the Alan Graysons and the Dennis Kuciniches. And there just aren't very many of them.
No, and those people, I mean, the guy from, is it Feingold?
Yeah.
He may lose, right? Is that
right. Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, it's that's got... That's got our buddy Albert up in Wisconsin totally in a dither. He just can't fathom that's going to happen.
And that's straight up out of the United playbook. They're just throwing, aren't they just throwing billions of dollars at that rate?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's incredible. So, yeah, I mean, I don't, you know.
And by the way, Andy in Redwood City just sent me a note saying, tell Sandra not to worry. Jerry Brown's up 7 to 8% over EMEG.
Okay, because I saw one poll that was, you know, had me a bit like, oh, what? And then I was reading about her.
Well, see, it's that margin of error that gives me the dribbles.
Well, yeah, but I just, you know, the sort of endless pockets, the endless well of money is like, oh, dear.
Yeah, can she buy 8%?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I think, like I said, once again, though, keep in mind Prop 19, and I really think that a lot of those people... I mean, I don't know. I don't know if maybe it will work in her favor because she's well-known. I mean, who can say?
It remains to be seen. Sandra, I got to run, but I tell you, it's been a wonderful conversation.
Okay, talk to you soon.
Later. Bye now.
Bye.
Calling from California, that's our buddy Sandra. And it's time for me to saddle up and get out of here. Made it through the program. Thank you very much for all of your help. And thank you for all of your kind contributions. We have almost raised the $2,500 we need for any given month. We have almost done it. We are so very close. We had a very generous, shocking contribution, and I was able to pay a bunch of the Horns bills, and it was magnificent to be able to. And thank you very much. Thank you to all of you who contribute. That's the only way that this continues to happen. We've got tons of bills to pay. And it is much appreciated when you contribute and support. And so, you know, right now we're within $500 of making our goal. Wow, huh? Yeah. So thank you. And thanks to everybody who makes all of this happen. Thanks to Lottie in the chat room, our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, our blogger, Texas Betsy, our Southeast correspondent is Matt Osborne at OsborneInc.com. There's a new column coming to you from our op-ed columnist, Reverbo, at Cavalcade of Crazy, head on RadioNetwork.com. My head writer is David in Tennessee. He had the night off. And Thanks always go out to John Fox, our chief engineer, webmaster, web designer, and to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org, who makes all of this streaming happen every time you click on. He's an amazing man, Ben Birch. Thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. Rick Smith is next. Stick around. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.